Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the playoff action is here, and there isn't a more rewarding sportsbook in the game than Tipico. Get ready to bet on the biggest games of the year, the playoff basketball, the hockey, the actions every night. You want to make the most of every game? You've got to bet with Tipico. You'll get up to 5% cash back on your bets. Claim your new sign-up bonus now and get $150 in protected bets when you deposit $100. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN150 to get your bonus. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
SleepBetterColumbus.com.
Hello, friends. You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon. Winner of Emmys. Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Uh-huh.
Look
sure
it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do it live on a Thursday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Paul Feinbaum dropping by at 10:33. Adam Jardy on the Buckeye roster coming up at 11:33. Your emails at 10 o'clock. A little higher, lower at 11 o'clock as well. So, just do yourself the favor and follow with me for a second. Well, do me the favor and follow along for a second. You think about it, an operation that was sabotaged, an operation that was moved, an operation that was saved, an operation that new ownership, the Haslam Edwards Group, takes over in 2018. With ownership of the Columbus Crew. And you can make an argument that as sports entities that we care about in Ohio go, they're the best. I don't even know that it's particularly close when it comes to hardware since 18. So in that time, they've won MLS twice. They've won the Campeones Cup once. They will now play for a Champions League
CONCACAF.
I know CONCACAF's the name. CONCACAF's the name of the organization, but it's the Champions League is what it is. I think they tried to change it to Cup. That's stupid. Should be Champions League. CONCACAF Champions League. So they're going to attempt to do that because of what happened last night. Second would obviously be Ohio State football, but you don't have the hardware in comparison. They've been consistently great the whole time, but we don't have the hardware that the Crew do. Obviously, the Jackets nowhere in the vicinity. Nowhere. You go down to Cincinnati. The Bengals are close. You get an AFC championship game with Burrow.
Mm-hmm. And two that's AFC been, that's title been games, one win.
An AFC championship, right. But I'm saying hanging a banner.
Yeah.
You hang okay. They hung a banner. You hang a banner for an AFC
well,
championship.
Indianapolis game. Sold. They hung a banner for finals.
Then you go up to Cleveland, and you got nothing. Well, you got division titles for the Gardos. But no AL championship during that time.
You got an AL pennant in 16.
No, but since 18.
Oh, yes.
Since Haslam Edwards' ownership in 18. These guys have won two championships. They've won the Campeones Cup. Now they're going to play for the Champions League final with a chance to win that. They've had some different managers. They've had bright stars here and there. When one leaves, another one comes in. Zellerion out, Rossi in. Cucho, all of it. Like, I'm not saying that it's on the level of some of the other things. I'm not suggesting that it's as important. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that from a position of excellence, since the ownership change, who's better that we pay attention to, even tangentially, like we do with them? I'm not going to come up here and act like I host Crew Extra like I used to do 15 years ago. I don't do that anymore. I don't follow the team every day. I'm not watching every game they play. But you can't argue with this excellence. They've been the best.
Yeah. Reeser and I were trying our best to poke some holes in your reasoning, but when you put it in that stipulations, and I don't think those are too restrictive. I mean, you're talking about 6 years for that. This isn't just
I'm talking about since the new ownership,
right.
since the operation was sabotaged, since the duplicitous scumbag left and were sabotaged and then bought, they're the best.
That's a long time for all those teams that we were listing off to have won something, and none of them have won the ultimate prize, and the Crew have done it twice. And the CONCACAF, the fact that they're advancing to this championship, the Seattle Sounders won it in 2022, I believe it was, and then the LA Galaxy and DC United won it back right around the millennia. LA Galaxy in 2000, DC United in 98. Beam was telling me, though, it was a very different tournament back then, that it has changed since then. So in like this modern iteration of this, it's just Seattle and the Crew. And for me, I think it's something too that helps legitimize, in my mind, I'm not even saying this for everybody else, but we know that the MLS is nowhere near the top soccer league in the world. And Mexico isn't the top soccer league in the world, but it's better by most accounts than the MLS. So if the Crew can advance to this and win something like this, I think it just establishes that, yes, they are not only one of the top teams in the MLS, but they can compete with other teams throughout there. And I think that it is a struggle sometimes to not look at the MLS as such a second fiddle league for people because of what we know about
soccer.
Now they
got Messi.
And yes, but what I mean is it's hard for me to look at the MLS Cup the same way I would the Stanley Cup or a Lombardi Trophy or a Davey O'Brien Trophy. That's the issue.
That goes back to the, did you say Davey O'Brien Trophy?
Isn't that, that's in.
That's the college football award? What is about Larry O'Brien.
The guy that never gets
they're both awards with O'Brien.
Nation's best quarterback, not the Maxwell, not the Heisman.
I know.
So you bring up the Blue Jackets real quick, and I'll just say this about CBJ. Their last season, they were young and injured. So just give it time, okay? Give it another year.
Patience.
Right? Just patience. Out of our blue, we will rise.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
So there are two different conversations. The one that you were having there, Chops, there, where you're comparing about the acknowledgement that it's not the best. I think it's probably the thing that's taken it so long for MLS to grab hold, because here we walk around Chesty knowing that the sports that are going on in our country are the best in the world, right? But there's no way that a soccer entity here is ever going to catch the Premier League.
No.
It's never happened. There's no chance. I mean, that's ever going to happen. Certainly not in my lifetime. Maybe in Bootsy's kid's lifetime. Maybe at some point it changes 200 years from now. Who knows? But it's not coming anytime soon. But that's a different conversation. Actually, let's just make it part of this. You can acknowledge that and also acknowledge that this thing has grown astronomically. So I mentioned Crew Extra. I remember in the late 2000s, I remember vividly the Crew fighting like hell to get 10,000 season tickets. Like just trying, scratching and clawing to get 10,000, trying to get 8,000 people at the place and all of these things. So I just looked at their attendance from last year. Their average attendance was 20,000 people. The average attendance for the number, and that was good for middle of the table. That's 14th in MLS, which quite honestly, what's the capacity at LDC? It's 23. So it's 20,371. So they're right at it. So they full up capacity with the new stadium. So in terms, that's mid table, which it was really smart to make that stadium the way that they did it. It's perfect. Atlanta averaged 47,000 fans last year. Charlotte was 36. The Seattle Sounders 32. They've always drawn in Seattle. Nashville 28, Cincinnati 25, Toronto 25, Galaxy 24. Even old ones like Revolution 24, like it's happened. It has happened. It's interesting. Like when I was looking at juxtaposed to the capacity of the stadium, they're all 110% for Atlanta, 95, 85, 94, 99, 89, 84, 119, 91, 100, 100, 100. It's well over. They've won in that sense.
Yeah,
they have. They've expanded and won. And they to Reese's point, Messi still he's coming off winning World Player of the Year, and he signs with Inter Miami, so he sees the growth of all of it. But this one last night to go to Mexico and beat Monterrey, the goal. So I watched until half, because if you know anything about the way this works, you know that once you get that goal in the 45th minute, the Morris goal, once that happens, that they have to score twice.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, we're good. I mean, that's how big that was. Like, if you know how the scoring works, once that happened, you go, you're good. So I watched that, and it was late anyway, so I time to go to bed. But woke up and saw that they cruised from there. So they could put a cherry on all of this, and honestly, an exclamation point on my point of that this is the best run operation since 18 in the state. They've won the most, and they can do it by winning this. This is something they haven't won. They've won everything else. Go in CONCACAF. Go in the Champions League. That's what's on the table for them. This is awesome. It's a great story.
Yeah, and I think continuing that kind of stuff just helps build on that. But you're talking about how much it's grown. Because I remember when I first got to Columbus, you know, kind of full time as a student, that was 12 years ago. And it'll be 12 years ago in the fall. That first fall, like one of the first months I was there, somebody was like, hey, if we go to the Student Union, we can get free tickets and go to the Crew game. And we made our way up to Old Crew Stadium and just went to the game. It was, I don't even know if we had assigned seats, but I remember it was not crowded around us. And we just kind of
didn't have assigned seats unless you were in seat backs.
We just took wherever we want. No, yeah, it was like bleacher seating. It felt like going to a high school game, like a random high school game in the middle of it. And now I guarantee they're not giving out free tickets to the LDC to students, as you just laid out with the season tickets and the capacity. So they've grown it that much. But to add another piece of hardware, I just think to like continue my first point, again, this is for me. I'm not saying this against soccer people who love the Crew. That's great. And I'm very proud to have the Crew here and to build that new stadium and to have that. And it's great that people were able to save the Crew. But another win like this just starts to move that needle for me personally a little bit to like, okay, this is legitimately a very, very good soccer team, and it shouldn't be downgraded just by the fact that it's in the MLS in my own head.
So Pachuca will be the victim in the club final. I'm on CONCACAF's website, and it says June 2nd, I think, is the tentative date for that final.
Okay.
And the winner there will qualify for the FIFA Club World Cup, which will be next year in, it just says, America.
So the June 2nd was laid out earlier, and Beam was telling me. So this is a Beam source. I don't know this for sure, but the reason why
it's when it comes to soccer, Beam's on it.
Yes.
Bone and Beamer on it.
June 2nd is apparently an election day in Mexico. So since it's a Mexican team hosting,
we don't recognize that.
They will likely move
it. Wait a minute.
The Crew can say they're not, the host team.
Crew should just show up and be like, if you're not going to play on this day, you're forfeiting. You forfeit.
All right, so I'm just trying to wrap my head around this. So you said the Club World Cup. So the team that won it last year was a team that you may have heard of named Manchester City. The team that's won it the most is Real Madrid. Like, what is the playoff for that? I want to see a bracket. All right, let me look. Let me see what I can do here.
So Manchester City will be in Columbus this summer playing at Ohio Stadium.
So it looks like there's a hell of a playoff that leads. There must be a pretty big bracket because I'm just looking in recent years. So the last team from CONCACAF to reach even a semifinal was in 2020. Tigres lost to Bayern Munich. Monterrey, who we played, lost to a Saudi team in 2019. And so I'm trying to see if Pachuca actually played in one.
It's crazy how there are so many soccer tournaments that you bring up one that like I don't really know of or pay that close attention to, and then all the teams that are in are like, oh, these are the teams.
Well, so to be fair, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this. This usually happens in August.
Okay.
And so it's like before the big clubs in Europe start their season. It's like, oh yeah, let's go to
Dubai
and go play for a championship. I don't know how seriously they take it. They win it almost every time. I mean, the winners of this thing are Milan, United, Barcelona, Corinthians won it once out of Brazil, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Liverpool, Chelsea. I mean, those are the teams that win it. They're the biggest clubs in the world. So I'm guessing they put some effort into it once they get there. Some of them are swampings. I mean, Man City won last year over Fluminense out of Brazil for love. Is your score on that? So that's a bit of a beatdown. All right. So good job on the Crew. It's a hell of a thing that's happened. And it's come a very, very long ways and still a lot further to go and more excellence on the way for that operation. Busy night in sports last night. Jim Tressel with some comments that I heard last night on his biggest worry in regard to what happens with a 12-team playoff. We'll get to all of that coming up. Loaded show for you. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your Heritage Sports Talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Hoops action certainly heating up. Tipico Sportsbook's the best place to bet on all of the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cash back in the industry at up to 5% cash back on your bets. Sign up now and enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get a $100 bonus when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's the promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions do apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER for more on that. Bone is in. So Bone was your ombudsman. He gave us some fact-checking, Reese.
Not necessarily fact-checking. I think just a little more clarification on what exactly the Crew have in front of them against Pachuca in what would be the Champions Cup final. Winner there qualifies again for the FIFA Club World Cup, which will take place in cities across America in 2025. I think the final site for that's to be determined, but there are 32 spots available for professional clubs around the world. And they've been qualifying for spots over the past 4 years.
So this is totally different.
Yeah, this is something they've never done before.
Okay.
It sounds to me in the way Bone was explaining it. And again, I felt like the entire time he was talking, I was the little color wheel on your computer. Like, I'm buffering, man, but I'm not able to keep up with all this information.
Right. There's a lot going on.
Monterey, who the Crew beat last night in leg 2, they qualified. They're playing in the FIFA Club World Cup anyway, just by their, they won the 2021 CONCACAF Champions. It was the league then. Now it's the cup. So they won the same thing in 2021, then Seattle, and then León. So those are three of the four CONCACAF spots. And the one between the Crew and Pachuca, that'll be the fourth spot there. But they've also got Asia, Africa, Brazil, UEFA has Chelsea, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Bayern Munich, Paris Saint-Germain, Inter Milan. They've already qualified.
So they're all in.
They will be here next summer playing for this FIFA Club World Cup. There's 32 teams, and most of the spots have been filled.
Here's what I'm very curious about. First of all, it's awesome. It'd be so cool to be a part of that. And the other part of it is, so it's in the summer.
Correct. When a lot of these professional leagues will have breaks.
Yeah, but so typically what happens is you're on international duty in the summer. So that's European championships must be this week, this summer. The Euros must be this summer. Because the World Cup would be...
It's 26. So the U.S. is hosting it because it's preceding them hosting the real World Cup.
So then the Euros are this summer. So the European Championship this summer. So probably CONMEBOL is this summer, which is the South American one. That's Messi won that, and then he won the World Cup in Argentina all in short order. He hadn't won anything for Argentina, and then he won those two things kind of back-to-back and cemented himself. All right, so that's what's going on. Then you do the club thing in 2025. What'll be interesting is the give a damn of those big European clubs and their players. Like, how engaged will they be? Because they do a summer tour here all the time, and they play, you know, their guys play, but not really.
The winner gets $50 million. So
the club gets $50 million?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how much the grass costs at the Bernabeu in Madrid. So
that's what Bone was saying. The last thing Bone said, he's like, yeah, it doesn't mean much to Manchester City. He's like, but no, for the Crew, that'd be kind of nice.
I think he said it was three times their payroll. So yeah.
Real Madrid's going to drop that on a month's salary from Mbappe next year. Like, that's how that's going to go. So that won't mean too much to them. But that's great. So this is all very cool. And go win it, man. Let's do it. Let's go do it. I'll be locked into that one whenever it is, whether there's an election interference or not on January 2nd or June 2nd. Freudian slip there almost. As we looked at the sports last night, you have in the NHL, you had the Oilers moving on. You have the Stars taking a 3-2 lead over Vegas. You had the Mavericks whipping the Clippers pretty handily in Los Angeles. They're playing in their new stadium, aren't they? It wasn't yet. I'm pretty sure they are.
They're still in crypto.com for the Clippers, right?
Are they?
I believe so.
It didn't look like it.
Open? They haven't been playing there all year, have they?
Well, they've done tours. No, not all year, but they've done tours of it. It didn't look like it.
TikTokers broke in and caused a ruckus.
They did tours like 2 months ago of it. I don't know if they've opened it or not, but like it didn't look like Staples.
Is an upcoming under construction in Inglewood, California, located.
So it's not. They're not.
That's what the Wikipedia page says.
Oh yeah, they're still playing in crypto.
So Ballmer's done a great job to make it not look like Staples.
Scheduled to open in 2024. By the way,
they had all of these like LED banners and stuff all the way around it, which the Lakers don't have. They don't do that. So he's tried to make it their own, but they got whipped. And then the Celtics dominated the Heat. Here's the problem on the NBA side of things: like these things were over. The Celtics game is over right away. That's over in the first quarter. It's like, so what's the point? We're just going through the motions?
That's something I want to get to, because we've seen this a lot, that we've, like, the Cavs have been in this. We finally got a good game five, but it was that same way, where it was two lopsided games for the Cavs, two lopsided games for the Magic, and we've seen it throughout the NBA playoffs. I think it's worse than the players resting thing during the regular season, because
this is
when you really tune in to all of these teams throughout it. Whereas, like, yeah, it stinks if you're like, oh, I'm going to watch a national NBA game and then a star isn't playing, or the ticket situation that we've talked about, that really stinks. But as far as like the most NBA most people take in, it's when the playoffs start. And there are teams that say, eh, not our night. It's not an elimination game. Let's just pack it in. And they do that consistently. I don't know if the NBA needs to add in a rule that, like, hey, if you lose by 30 or more points, end of series. No, we're not going to seven. You have to take every game seriously. I know that would be like super punitive and they would never do it, but something needs to be done about teams giving up on playoff games just because it's not an elimination game in the second quarter.
It's bad.
It's really a strategy bad at this point.
It's unwatchable, and it's over right away. The game last night's over in the first.
Why waste effort? We've got another game coming.
Yeah, they didn't in the case of Miami, but we've seen this over and over again, where like you just push. That's why I had so much respect for the way the Lakers played. They knew they weren't winning that series, but they played as hard as they competed, man, for five games. Every one of those games was entertaining. They all came down to the last couple of minutes, the Lakers and Nuggets. You can't say that for the rest of this nonsense.
I wonder still if the fix for it were be to shorten games and shorten the amount of regular season games, or shorten the first and second rounds of the playoffs to best of five.
So that's how, do you guys remember that's how it used to be? First round was best of five. So it was 1 through 8, best of five. And I want to say, I want to say that changed in the mid-2000s is when that changed to best of seven. And that's when it became something that was spread out over 2 weeks, as opposed to something that could have been wrapped up in a week, because they were looking for more television shows. But, best of five was pretty good. I paratrooped in on a little bit of the Oilers-Kings, and I flipped over. I turned on the Celtics Heat. It was done right away, so none of that. And then we did a little bit of Mavericks-Clippers, and then NBC was like, dude, Arrested Development season 4 and 5 suck. And I'm like, I know, they do. It sucks. You should have just stopped at 3, kind of like Game of Thrones, just stop. But so he's like, well, what else can I watch? I'm like, God, I don't know. So I put him on to, I didn't even watch this series, but I used to do, we used to have to do like a 10 o'clock news for, I want to say the CW is what this network was on, and I found it on Max. Are you guys familiar with the show One Tree Hill?
Oh yeah, J-Lo is, that's for sure.
Okay, so I put him onto that. I put him onto One Tree Hill.
Yeah, it's just like a teen soap opera with a
like
basketball
Dawson's
player.
Creek or 90210, except it's basketball players.
Like whenever we talk about basketball, J-Lo brings up One Tree Hill, and then she's shown me a few clips, and I'm like, no, they didn't get it right.
Well, the kit, so we watched the thing last night, the pilot. The one kid can play.
Chad Michael Murray?
No, the other one.
Okay.
The other one can play. Chad Michael Murray cannot play at all. He's got nothing. But the other kid, the guy who's the big bad, he can play. He can shoot it a little bit. And he was pretty locked into it. So we'll see what I can do on that. Jim Tressel weighed in on his biggest concern for what is coming in college sports and college football especially, and how it would pertain to Ohio State. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
When that alarm clock goes off, morning juice comes on. The perfect way to dominate your day or just lay around the house. Morning juice.
Weekdays at 6.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up, Jew?
Hi, here's what's up on a Thursday edition of the program. I saw this from a good buddy, Mark Kutz, up at BCSN out of Toledo. Jim Tressel at some sort of an outing or event yesterday, and Mark had a chance to talk to him, and he put it up on his social. And one of the things he asked Coach Tressel about was his concerns for what is coming in the sport, whether it be a 12-team playoff or the new version of the Big Ten. Here's Coach Tressel's answer to that.
Oh, I think any time that the rivalry is, you know, knocked down, drag out, you get knocked down, then they get knocked down, I think that's healthy. I like it better when they're knocked down, you know, all the time. But, you know, it keeps that rivalry in the spotlight nationally, which is a big thing. What's going to be interesting is with so many teams in the Big Ten and the SEC and that kind of thing, I just hope, you know, the rivalries, you know, don't lose their luster, because I don't care who I talk to that's played at Ohio State. The only thing that's ever asked them is, what was your record against the team up north? You know, and the guys that have a sparkling record, man, they jump up in the air and tell you. The ones that don't, they kind of change the conversation. You know, and so I hope we don't lose that. I don't see how we could lose the importance of that game, but sometimes when things get bigger and more involved, what'll be interesting is if they ever have to play twice in a year, which could happen. Could happen, you know, regular season Big Ten championship, could happen regular season playoffs. So that'll be an interesting dynamic.
All right, there's a couple of things that I want to hit on this. And the first one is this. Are we sure it's true that first line is still asked as much even now as it used to be? That line of, what was your record against the team up north? Is that something? I think it's asked more now than it was even 5 years ago, because there was a understanding that when most of your games go beat Michigan, yeah, of course you're going to beat Michigan. That's all we do, is beat Michigan for 20 years. You beat them all the time. Between Tress and Urban, that's all you did. So I think it's probably something that's talked about a little bit more, but maybe we did take it for granted a little bit during the end of the Tress and for the majority of the Urban era, that it was just what you did. You won the games in the regular season. You played Michigan. You battered them. They usually weren't on your level. And then you sent them packing and you went on for other things. The one thing about that part of it that I do, I think it's obviously top of mind for Ryan Day right now because of what's happened the last three times. But just from the perspective of Urban, I think changed it a little bit from the standpoint of, and it's crazy because he went 7-0 against him, but Urban changed kind of the mentality from my perspective of the fan base of, go win the national championship. And it's interesting because he won one, Tress won one, but every year with Urban, it felt like, let's go win it. When I covered Tress, and I was from 07 on with Tress, so I wasn't there at the early part of Tress. And it never felt like during those seasons, it was like, yeah, if you can win the national championship, great. But it wasn't like, if you don't, it's a bust. And it felt like with Urban, it changed to, if you don't, it's a bust. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm thinking back to 07 specifically. And so they didn't have a Big Ten title game on top of it. So I think that changes it too, that you've got a game
right
the next week right away. Because in 2007, James talked about this all the time when he was still here on the show, that they had the roses in their mouths when they beat,
I was there,
when they beat Michigan. They were, we're going to the Rose Bowl. But so many things happened in that 2007 college football year that they find themselves in the national championship, which is a welcome surprise. But they were also still just ready to celebrate the Michigan game and going to the Rose Bowl, which is so, like, that is just such a stark difference, like you're saying, of what college football used to be and what they used to value there. So I think that's true, and you're right about, like, the question. It's certainly something that is coming up more now, but in the Tressel Meyer eras, that's a 20-year period, there's a lot of guys who won 3, 4, maybe were on even 5 teams that won gold pants. Not so much anymore, and that's what we talked about a lot with this class, this 2021 class that really wanted to come back for one more year here at Ohio State, that they don't really have any hardware to show for it.
No.
Rose Bowl victory, I guess, but that's not the same thing that it used to be even 15 years ago.
Yeah, so even with that Rose Bowl victory, just felt consolation-y, right? Well, and
bowls aren't the same.
Any of the bowl games that aren't college football semifinals and whatever it's going to become in this 12-team expanded one, you don't make that, it's a failure.
Look at three's senior year. Like, can you imagine, I was at that game in the desert when they played Texas. Can you imagine, like, Colt McCoy and threes and Malcolm Jenkins being like, yeah, I'm not playing. Why would I play in this? That's our reality now.
Yeah.
But then it would, you can't even wrap your head around that about going out to play in a Fiesta Bowl in the desert and like, Laurinaitis and Jenkins and Colt McCoy being like, yeah, we're going to sit this one out, man. I mean, I gotta get ready for the league. And that was just it was such a foreign concept to even consider that. And it really wasn't until, the first one I remember doing it was Bradley Roby in the Orange Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that was several years later. Like you just didn't do it. It wasn't done. Like those bowl games mattered. That's all changed. The dialogue around it has all changed. We'll get to it, by the way, at 10:20. One thing that college sports are talking about in terms of trying to make sure that they can get that back, that sense of urgency back. I'd be fascinated to see if they can pull this off in the non-playoff games. But that notion of go win the national championship or not, because we even talked about this in the 22 season, CJ's last year. So you lose to Michigan, and you lose to Georgia, but you played your best game of the year against the best team in the country, and it almost made the Michigan loss, it didn't make it go away, but it was a little bit of a Band-Aid on it because you played your best the next week. Now, just imagine if they had actually won it. Imagine if they had beaten Georgia. Imagine if they had then gone on to obliterate TCU in the national championship game. Would you even have remembered that they lost to Michigan? And I know that's sacrilege to say out loud, but I don't know if you would.
I think people would have remembered, but I think it would take a back seat. Whereas right now, like, while it's still the expectation, winning the national championship is still probably the ultimate goal. It's so top of mind to beat Michigan. But if you had a national championship in there, like an actual win, I do believe that supersedes it for most fans. But, the tweets, I can already hear them typing. They're coming in. I remember the 90s. Don't send us, I remember the 90s. We hear it every week. Or every time we talk about this.
Sounds
like someone who didn't have to live through the John Cooper era, huh?
I mean, I technically lived through it. I was just 5 years old or so.
Yeah. The other part about that is and Reese, as someone who grew up here, you know this.
Survivor of the John Cooper era, thank you. And send my medal in the mail.
Coop is a great man. The other part of it is it used to be the only roadmap to winning a national championship was beating Michigan forever. That was it. If you didn't beat them, you didn't get to play in the Rose Bowl. That was it forever. If you didn't get them, you don't get to play for a Big Ten title. If you didn't beat them, you weren't going to play for a national championship. And then all of a sudden we didn't beat them and we still made the playoff.
That was a semifinal before semifinals became a thing.
Yeah.
And if you didn't win that last game of the season, forget it. Thanksgiving's canceled.
Yeah.
No turkey for you, losers.
You brought up the, There's one other thing I want to get to on the Tress side of thing, and it goes to his legacy and kind of where that all is, and it's interesting to hear him talk about this and his place in all of it because he gets the credit for flipping the thing, right? In the early 2000s, he flipped it. Everybody has seen that video. Even if you didn't watch it live, you've seen the video of him talking about how proud we're going to be in however many days up in Ann Arbor. So, you knew that. One quick aside, you mentioned 2007, in that game up in Ann Arbor where threes and those guys won and then ended up playing for the national title. So not only was that before Thanksgiving, so it was the week before Thanksgiving, they were off for 2 weeks. The team that they played for the national championship lost the next week. LSU lost the week of Thanksgiving. They played Arkansas, lost.
And then won the SEC championship.
And then won the SEC championship the next week in order to make the college football, to make the BCS championship.
And a few other teams at Boston College, whatever it was. It was such a weird year. Kansas, Missouri, and Boston College were like at the top at certain points.
West Virginia, I think, was involved at one point. West Virginia lost to Pitt in a monster game. So there was a bunch of stuff that happened at the end that kind of allowed for it. But that's how foreign the sport was at that point, that not only did those guys think running around Ann Arbor with roses in their mouth, thinking you're going to the Rose Bowl and being happy as clams that was the case, but that was also the reality of the team they played in the national title, by the way, in their home stadium, by the way, in New Orleans, was a team that lost the next week. They lost, and they found themselves to get all the way back in it. Tress brought up a couple of things in terms of the importance of the game. It certainly was important to him, and he did flip the rivalry. His place in Buckeye history is also a fascinating one, and he talked a little bit about the minimizing of the game. Is that even possible? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
We know everything about you. We know you love the Buckeyes. We know you love the Jackets. We know you're wearing a red shirt. Just freak the hell out of someone.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
And hey there, friends, it's your Uncle Bo here. And if you're like me and millions of other men out there, you find yourself feeling sluggish, tired, a little bit off. I mean, the energy's not what it used to be, not sleeping great. I certainly wasn't. Any of those symptoms apply to you, it's possible, even likely, that you're suffering from low testosterone. And there's help there with my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. For me, it was chasing the boys all over with the youth sports. Dad, can you do this? Let's do this. Just felt tired, didn't have the energy I used to. I'm a man, I'm 40, for crying out loud. Well, you got a real lasting solution is what I did with my friends at Tri-State Men's Health. Go to TriStateMen'sHealth.com. Take the low T quiz on the website. If the symptoms apply to you, schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health. They do the lab work. They're going to have your results in about 30 minutes. I went through the process. Could not be happier with how easy it was. A licensed medical provider is going to review your results with you and discuss your options. Then you're going to make the decision together with the medical team. The cost of the appointment is $99. That includes the consult, the T, and PSA test. If you sign up like I did, your appointment is free. They have four offices, including two here in town. Give them a call today, 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com for more on that part of it. Tress is right about one thing, and this is why last year's Michigan game is so damn painful. It's never going to be the same going forward. Last year was the one. That was the last one where it was a win and get in, all or not situation. You are going to play them again. I don't know if it'll be this year, but at some point you will. You're either going to play them in a Big Ten championship game, and it could be this year. I think, like, we forget how good they still are. Like, Doug talked about this last Friday when we had him on, when he watched the Michigan spring game. They still look like Michigan. They still have the talent. If you go look at a mock draft, they still have first-round picks. So they still have the talent there. So you're going to play them in a Big Ten championship game the following week. You could play them in a playoff at some point. So what the game was for 120 years – and what it's going to be are going to be slightly different. It's still going to have all of the feels as long as they keep it where it is at the end of November. But the idea of having to play them again is certainly going to change it a bit.
Speaking of the feels, I love that at the beginning of that. Even Jim Tressel can't get rid of that feeling and it, you know, whatever connection he has with the Buckeye lore, because he's talking about, yeah, like the logical thing of, like, of course it is better when it's competitive and, you know, both sides win a few. And he's like, but I liked it more when we won all of them. Like, he even just goes back on it right away and just says, actually, but I still did like it more when Ohio State won one of them. But we've talked about it many times on the show. We do like it being competitive to a certain degree. Ohio State also, for it to be competitive, has to win some. So hopefully they can get back on that this year. The other thing I liked hearing from Tressel there is, for a man who is smarter than me and knows more about football and college football than I do, he talks about it the same way, that he talks for a minute 20 in there, but not quite about the same thing. He keep leapfrogging to different lily pads of different things. And, oh, but the playoff and, oh, the SEC and the Big Ten are getting larger. And I was like, ha, just like me, Jim Tressel and I, we're the same.
You guys are the same. Get a sweater vest, Chops.
There we go.
He's ever the politician. Like, it still, it's like he can't shut that part of his brain off.
No.
As long as, and you said it, as long as both teams hold up their end of the bargain, it will still matter whenever there's a meeting. You know, and I think this is going to feel weird because it was weird to kind of think of. Would you have, and nobody would have any interest in a Friday Ohio State Michigan game, but could that be something you see on a Black Friday soon?
I don't think
so. We're just going to have to get over this idea that it's going to be the final regular season game. because I don't know how much that's holding.
I think people will protect that to the ends of the earth, will protect those two teams playing in the final regular season game.
Plus, Fox here's wants one it thing there. They've built their whole production around noon.
Correct. They built it around Big Noon. Now, could you see a situation down the line where it's played in prime time? Yeah. Yeah, you could. I think you could see that. You could see it's been played at 3:30. The game in 06 was played at 3:30. So there has been 3:30 versions of the game. But could I see it in prime time? Yeah. I think it will be at the end of the year always. But it's, boy, you think of how many times they've met recently as two top five teams. It's happened a ton. And the reality is with the 12 team playoff is they very easily could meet again down the line. Hell, both of them were in the playoff 2 years ago. And could have met for the national championship playing again. So that part of it, that's why I like Tressel's part in this and his history with it. Him and Urban, I think, are probably the last guys. And I think, honestly, Tress even more than Urban. To me, when I think of Tress's legacy, I think about the Michigan game almost more than the national championship. I know that might seem crazy, but I really do. I think of he turned the tide on a decade of disappointment.
I think 06
he changed it. I think about that more than the Miami game.
Yeah, 06 and with Urban,
I don't think about the Michigan game as much. I think about beating Alabama as the defining moment of Urban. And with Tress, I feel like it's the Michigan games. You're right, 06 is one of them. But the first one was the most important because that stopped it. That stopped it. It had been a bloodbath. And that ended it. And he called it out. You know, that I'm curious where people would land on that. If you view Tress's defining moment as the national championship or his dominance against Michigan, conversely, do you view Urban's the dominance against Michigan or the national championship?
I think
it's, they're very similar, their accomplishments.
The title game's always weird with that one, too, because really the game that stands out from the Urban era is the semifinal leading to the national championship against Alabama, but it's all wrapped up together. No, I think that is the case. And, it's not lost on me either that Tressel was mostly coaching against Lloyd Carr, and then where we see ourselves now with Ryan Day and Jim Harbaugh getting them back to the pinnacle. And it's not to take anything away, but it's easier to beat Brady Hoke. That's just a fact. So I think that's another reason why, because Michigan was not up to a level where they really felt like they were threatened to win. It was still very important, and Urban Meyer knew that it was that important, but it is undeniably easier during that time than it has been the last 3 years or even during Tressel's era.
Brady Hoke taking strays when they should be directed at Rich Rodriguez, though.
Sure.
That was the problem.
That was the bottom. Hoke actually, in retrospect, did a pretty good job of digging them out of the abyss, and then Harbaugh took it from there. But, like, it was Rich that drove that thing off the cliff.
How many did Urban coach against Rich, though?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just talking about the status of the program. I don't even know if he ever did.
I don't think he did, now that I think about it, yeah. But you're right, that Rich Rodriguez just completely, bottomed it out. Because Brady Hoke was a decent recruiter and brought the roster back up to respectability. Yeah. He was just kind of a dope when it came to game day stuff.
Yeah, yeah. 30 below zero in short sleeves.
But that's the thing. I wonder how much of the facade that he had, where he wouldn't have the headset, he's still wearing a short sleeve and shorts, was that made him seem dumber than he actually was from a football X's and O's standpoint.
Yes.
Stupid is as stupid does.
So right, but he did bring Michigan back to what their identity should be.
There's no doubt. I mean, he was
You hit. Rich Rod wanted to fly around the field and have six wide receivers.
He went head-to-head with Urban in recruiting and had a couple of wins. Like, they got Jabril Peppers. They got the big offensive lineman out of the Cleveland area, St. Ed's or Ignatius, Kalis, I think. So he had a couple of wins in there where they did it with Hoke. It was Rich that went off the cliff. But I do think, when I think Tress, I just think the Michigan game. That's what I think of, almost second only to Woody when it comes to that, from a positive standpoint. We'll hit your emails coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
During this 10-second promo, Rothman will lose money gambling on something.
People like you come here and blow the family nest egg that built this town.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
known to Barry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
I missed this. Second hour of the program, missed this from last night. Zeke's going to wear 15 with the Cowboys, huh?
Yeah, so he got to go back to 15 last year, so you got him in the Buckeye number. But I also, when I first read that, I was like, is that just so he can sell more Elliott jerseys? Because everybody already has the 21 Elliott jerseys.
Probably so Jarrett can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he gets the real cut of all the Cowboys merchandise, right?
That was the thing that wasn't talked about much when Kobe went from 8 to 24. It was a string of time when LeBron was winning most sold jerseys every year. Was the 23 Cavs. And so Kobe, he says he always wanted to wear, whoever knows what it was, but like he ended up going to 24 and then right away went back to having the number one selling jersey in the NBA once he did that. And now he has two numbers retired, which is crazy.
They didn't know what to do. They won two titles as well in 24. So yeah, you got to do them both.
Two and 24. And
45
three and eight,
so. Not retired in Chicago.
No. And 21 will be in the Ring of Honor in Dallas. I don't think they're going to put 15 in. Zeke's obviously on his last legs, but happy that he gets to go home to Big D, one of the best. He's just great. One of the most fun guys you could ever be around. All right. It is a Thursday. It is 10 o'clock. We want to hear from you. Here are your emails. Hit it, boys.
Our comment box is always open. Any feedback is mostly appreciated.
The mail never stops. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. There's never a let up. It's relentless. Every day it piles up more and more and more. You got to get it out. And the more you get out, the more it keeps coming in. Again.
Bishop and Friends present emails.
Boy, got a lot of them this week. Get to as many as we can. This one from John, the subject matter, the end of the NCAA. First and foremost, love the show. Thank you. Started listening during COVID. Have followed routinely ever since. Please keep up the family stories and parenting. I have four daughters, ages 7, 4, and the twins are 16 months. God bless you, buddy. Holy smokes. I feel like you're giving me a cheat code to what's coming in my not-so-distant future. I got 3-4 is a whole other ball game, and twins. My gosh, it's amazing. Back to business, though. With Reggie Bush suing the NCAA, I've been thinking about the thousands of athletes who missed out on NIL due to the NCAA restrictions on earning income. What's stopping these athletes from suing for lost income they could have earned? In my opinion, the key piece is that the definitive market set for positions. As an example would be if somebody, a quarterback average worth on an NIL market is set at $2 million, given the government's track record of siding against the NCAA, I think it would be a backbreaker that would end the NCAA completely. If I've kept your attention to this point, I greatly appreciate your time and consideration. Sincerely, John. John, thank you so much for listening and for writing in. So I kind of broached this with Dan Murphy yesterday. There's that case that's going on, House versus NCAA, that a bunch of people are jumping onto, and he wrote the piece with Thamel about it, about the NCAA willing to settle and the $4 billion number on that. I don't know who's going to pay the $4 billion out. But nevertheless, that's where that stands. And he mentioned a statute of limitations on it. On that one through 2018, like, you'd have to get a legal mind on this. How far back can you sue for damages? Like, can you go a decade back? Can you go 20 years back? How could you? And then how could you prove damages going back that far?
Yeah.
I don't know this, John. It's a fantastic question. It's something I've talked about on the program. It's something I broached with Dan yesterday, but I can't give you an answer on it because legally I have no idea, like, how far can you go back for damages? I need a lawyer to weigh in. I don't know.
Yeah, and then what will it look like with those statute of limitations and everything? But at least the point of the email is very close to something that is happening. And I don't fault him for not knowing every single court case that's going up against the NCAA because they are innumerable. And I don't even think I have a wrap around all of them that are going on at any given time. But yeah, that's kind of like the idea that they're approaching that is leading the NCAA to wanting to settle this rather than it actually going to court, because I think all sides are a little unsure, like we are right now, of what exactly would happen and how it would be. But there was talks of they're being sued for $1 billion, but if they win, then it, like, the payout is triple what you sued for, and that's where that $4 billion number comes from. And then how does that get dispersed? Like, if they actually got their hands on $4 billion worth of payouts, how do you disperse that?
And who's going to get it? You know, that part's tricky.
And I think it behooves the NCAA to try to settle as quickly as possible, because you don't want to have that lingering out there. Because if I'm just wondering, like, the precedent that could be set in any given court case, then that determines, right? You talk about statute of limitations. Nobody actually knows. Nobody knows with any of this. And that's why they're going to try to get out as quickly as possible from under these cases, because the longer you wait, I think the worse it looks for the NCAA, who already waited too long, but here we are.
Yeah, I think I need a legal mind, because I'm trying to think, when I was reading that, I was thinking the two people who came to mind quickest were Terrell Pryor and Braxton Miller, because they were starting quarterbacks as freshmen, and fives and twos were sold a lot during that time. But how could you, I guess what would be hard is proving your financial loss. I mean, is there data somewhere that would show all the number five jerseys or all the images of Braxton that were used to sell all of the number twos that were sold for Pryor? Like,
because, yeah, that's tough. The collective world that we're in right now can't really be pushed back onto the past, because that's, you know, through donations, and they're paying it out. And that's the whole point of those entities. So those didn't exist. So I don't know. Like,
the collectives aren't exactly name, image, and likeness. The collectives are an in-between to pay players.
That's what I mean.
You know what I mean?
You can't go back and go, like,
retroactively,
in 2010, these guys, you know, these are what endorsement numbers would have looked like. We just put it through some sort of conversion rate. But these guys aren't really getting endorsement payments at this point.
They're just being compensated.
Yeah, I don't know how you do the math.
It's just a workaround on being compensated. It's a great question. I don't know how you go back on that. This one from Zach, the subject title, The NFL Draft Live Equals a Crapshoot. He writes, "Hey, Bo, loyal listener to the podcast version, love the show. I went up with my brother to the draft. The NFL was not prepared for the draft in Detroit. The numbers they said for Thursday were maybe half of the actual people there. They ended up hitting capacity, so we got turned away, but we explored the area a few hours before. Number one issue, in the area where the fans could watch the draft and where you saw on TV, there were maybe 50 porta potties. Oh, no, that's me, not them. Decent beer vendor representation, and also had two food trucks in the area. Everything else was behind the barricades they set up to keep the rest of the masses out. Cops in riot gear, cops on horses, drunk people jumping fences, getting tackled. The media won't talk about it, but the NFL was not prepared for Detroit. The fans showed out, and the NFL was caught with their pants down." That's us. Zach, thanks for the account. You're right. That's boots on the ground. I haven't heard any of that. All you ever see was, look, here's the deal. And Detroit is very similar to Cleveland or Pittsburgh or Philly. These big, cold weather towns where sports are part of the fabric and part of the elixir that helps you get through a cold winter or a dreary spring or a god-awful end of fall. In these type of places, if you have a big event, we will show out to prove how great we are. It's what it's part of it. It's a point of pride. Was I surprised that Detroit should allocate? No. Was I surprised that Cleveland didn't even have a first-round pick the year they showed out? Does that surprise me? No. No. Because that's what you do. That's what you do.
Yeah, and, you know,
it's an interesting account, though.
I didn't
hear those stories.
This is just his account, but going off of what he said, obviously for the numbers that the NFL was saying, 50 porta-potties, definitely not enough. And then you combine that, he adds in, there are plenty of beer vendors and food trucks. Then you definitely need more porta potties, and that wouldn't have been available to them. But I also did think on television, it looked like it was like crammed into like a square a little bit, like around a bunch of buildings. And it felt like, yeah. I mean, I guess it was on Broadway when it was in Nashville, but it just feels like it had been more open in recent years, maybe not like skyscrapers around them, and that's what it looked like in Detroit. So I was curious, like, what did they do that was so special? They had like the lights, and it looked cool from that like high vantage point. But
yeah,
a couple years ago when it was in KC, they did that fountain because it's the city of fountains, and they constructed that. And they tried to do, when it was supposed to be in Vegas, they tried to do the stage in the fountains and go there. Now that it has to be a fountain, that's just two fountain examples. But it just seemed like, oh, we're doing something specific. And except for like bringing Eminem out, it didn't feel that they built anything Detroit specific for this draft to kind of be a focal point of where they put it.
They showed up in Kansas City too.
When you watch like images from the draft, the first thing that came into my mind was like, it looks like they're herding cattle, and then where's everybody gonna pee? Because it just it didn't look like they were at all set up to do anything but stare at the front. Like, you didn't have any movement. You didn't have anybody really moving outside of, you know, you see shoulders turning to look at things. But it, at least from my vantage point watching, it just looked like that seems unfun.
Yeah. It's weird. One from Caleb. Go ahead real quick.
I was going to say, when you see a crowd like that, we're used to seeing them in stadiums. But you forget that in stadiums, there's infrastructure for all those kind of things right under those people. Whereas they're just out there.
There's also finite walls.
Yeah.
Where people can't keep coming in forever. This from Caleb. Subject, LeBron TV economy. He writes, hey, Bo, boy, everybody loves the show this week. 2 weeks ago, everybody hated us. Now this was a good group of emails. The ones that hate us are good, too. He writes this, absolutely love the show. I would contest I'm your most loyal listener. I go out of my way to catch each podcast episode as I travel the country as a truck driver. Chops and I are about a year apart, so we have a similar growing up with the trajectory of LeBron's ascension all the way from high school. Only difference is I have always been in Central Ohio, so he has always been a presence going back to his high school days, which brings me to my point. You and Reese mentioned the economy that has been created around him the last 15 years. I would argue it's closer to 25. You'd be correct, me parenthetically, because he has a camera in his face since he was appointed the chosen one early in high school. Also, let me take this opportunity to call out every Licking Valley alumni who share the picture of the Panthers playing against LeBron at SVSM like they were on the team. Yes, can't be found anywhere on the tape. Love the show. Maybe just reconsider your co-host choice. I'm ready at all times for my guest appearance and audition. You're in, Caleb. That's a great job out of you. Yeah, it's two decades of LeBron being forever in our life. This one for Brian. Subject, UEFA Champions League. The message, UEFA Champions League no longer uses away goals as a tiebreaker. It goes to extra time if the aggregate is even after the first two legs. So that is critical. I did not know that. That's a good job out of you, Brian. I had no idea that they'd done that. So
that's a much better workaround.
It's a much better workaround. So what that means is, for example, Real Madrid and Bayern Munich played in Munich on Tuesday or Wednesday this week. It was 2-2. So they'll play at the Bernabeu next week. And in the old days, Madrid could just sit on it and play for 0-0 and win because they'd have the two away goals. Now they can't. They're going to get a real match. So that's nice change for Champions League. I like it.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with the NBA playoffs. Like, if you lose by 30, series over. Like, if you gamify it just a little bit and, like, encourage the teams to try and actually go for scoring, you're going to get it. And soccer seems to have that figured out, at least over there across the pond.
It was the other way, and the returns were brutal. Like, if you had the away goals, like, they would just camp and just say, don't score, and not even try. So that's a nice change for them. This one from Ryan. The subject, venomous snakes in Ohio, the emphasis of the genesis of this coming from the snake that I found in my garage on Sunday after we had cleaned it. And then we let him fight for himself. Nature versus nurture. Hank the Hawk was flying around a lot this week, so I'm not optimistic he survived, but we'll see. Here is the message. There are three types of venomous snakes in Ohio. The northern copperhead, commonly found. Timber rattlesnake. Rare, very larger body diameter, not very long, and then the eastern Massasauga rattlesnake, rare and found near swampy areas along the Ohio River. I don't think this was any of those. Did I put that on? So I can't remember if I put that image of that guy on social or not.
I don't think so.
All right, I will. I'll put it on social, Ryan, and you can maybe tell me what it is. He did shake his tail, but we used to have bull snakes in Montana, and they would shake their tail too. And they weren't rattlesnakes.
How did you?
And they weren't venomous.
We didn't. I don't think we went over that the day you told the story.
I got it onto a rake, like one of those grass rakes, like landscapers have. So I got one of those and got it on that rake with a garden hoe, and got it on the rake and then carried it out.
So you kind of clamped on, you like Pac-Man him with the two rakes.
Almost. Well, he did. Once he got on the rake, he kind of was chill.
Okay.
Once he got on, he wasn't happy.
What's going on?
He wasn't happy about getting on the rake, but once he was on it, he kind of just chilled. I think he was kind of like in bunker down mode, like may have to fend. This could get dicey. Let's be still. But then I took him out with the rake, and then I just catapulted him into the woods. I went like towards the back end of the property and just catapulted him.
Maybe he'll be like a stray cat though, and he'll just show up at your door again. Like he knows the way back.
My hope is not. Would be that. Again, there's a lot of hawks, so I'm guessing one of them probably gets him. I'll tweet that photo out, and maybe someone can identify what it is. All right, coming up next, contracts are coming to college football quicker than maybe you realized. Yeah, student athletes, contracts, what does that sound like? We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
And it's your Uncle Bo here for my great friends at RCD RV. When you want to get away, no better solution than hitting the road in an RV for my great friends at RCD. You get it out under the stars, fresh mountain air, out by the lake. It's as good as it gets, kids. And guess what? You skip the lines at the airport. You skip all the hassle. God knows I've been through all of it. And it could all be yours. Your journey starts at RCD RV. RCD has RVs to meet every budget. New campers as low as $13,995. Ohio's best selection of pre-owned travel trailers, fifth wheelers, motorhomes. If you're in the market, that's where you go. They'll take care of you. Tell them Bo sent you. Three locations to serve you in Central Ohio or online anytime at rcdrv.com. Well, boy, Ross Dellinger, he's like a one-man beat, and he might even be like a one-man department at Yahoo Sports. It's amazing. He's there. I don't even know who's left writing for Yahoo Sports at this point. Woj is long gone.
Shams gone with, along with
Shams
him.
Shams is gone with him. The other guys, the like Pat Forte used to be there, then he went to Sports Illustrated. I don't even know who's still with Yahoo Sports at this time, but at one point they put a lot of money into their writers. Dellinger's still there, and he's kind of a one-man beat on this. So like three or four people who do this, and he gets scoop after scoop after scoop. And so he had this was a bowl season director, a guy named Nick Carparelli, who told who was in Phoenix, and he expects NIL to soon come in-house and for athletes to sign binding compensation contracts with schools, require them to play in bowls and college football playoff games, and eliminating or greatly reducing opt-outs. This is a quote from Carparelli, who said, quote, "I had a meeting recently with Charlie Baker who discussed that. On the national level, what needs to happen for everybody is collectives need to be brought in-house and universities need to manage that. I think that will come with that, and we'll see agreements, much like other employment agreements between athletes and universities now compensating them, whether it's employee or employer relationship or inducement contractors. And when we see those binding agreements with the student athletes, you're going to see student athletes that are required to play in 12 regular season games, the bowl games, and the CFP as part of their compensation, not unlike how the rest of the real world works." Told to ESPN on this, if you sign a contract and receive compensation, you're obligated to perform certain duties, in this case play 12 regular season games and a bowl game. The logical to expect, it's the way the rest of us working folks operate. Yeah, it's fine, they're just called employees. That's it. Yes,
he says it and then has to like backtrack in that first statement to Dellinger.
The quote is, it's employer or employer relationship inducement dude, yes, of course, that is the only way. That's the only way. Now just think about the they're headed where we've been talking about. James and I talked about this years ago, that this is the only way. And at the time, it felt like there's some pushback. Like, there's no way. And it's three times we're talking about this. God almighty, like, that's got to be like 18 or 19, 6 years ago. We were talking about this is the only way to get control of this. And eventually they got there, and they're going to get there. But yeah, they're no longer student athletes. They're employers. And employees, that's the way that it works. You sign a contract, it's binding, that gets you the control back. Saban's talked about this for years. Other coaches have as well, talked about the NFL model. Everybody goes around it without saying what it is, that you are an employee. It's fine. That just is what it is. But think about the amount of things you're going to have to work through on that. And I think this is why it gets bogged down, and this is why it's very difficult to figure out when exactly this is going to take place. We can all acknowledge it's going to take place, but just understand that if you do this, you also have to separate football from everything else. You may have to separate men's basketball from everything else, because you're going to have to compensate them. That number that floated out this week, that $20 million to pay for football, and in Murphy's piece, and he talked about, well, Ohio State had a revenue of 200 and some million dollars and 20 million. Well, is 20 going to be enough? What percentage of the revenue are the football players going to negotiate? Who's going to represent them? Who's their union? What's the number? What's the percentage that makes it right? We're long past the days of, here's a $4,000 stipend. That's long done. Gone. The other part of it that has to get sorted out, other than the privatization of football, and perhaps men's basketball, the other part of it is, like, you have a transfer window when all of this is going on. So that has to be worked out. The third part is, do they even need to be students at that point? Are you going to require, as part of their contract, requiring them to be eligible?
Are they really students at this point? They take online courses because they're told that they have to remain eligible.
I don't know.
Is that, like, how often are the star players actually on campus?
At the highest level, I don't even know. I remember when J.C. Sheldon hit that buzzer beater in the NCAA tournament. We tried getting her on. They beat, I think, North Carolina a couple of years ago in the tournament. We tried getting her on, and she couldn't come on because she had class. So I said, that still exists?
I guess she was still going to class, but we've heard many times from the football team standpoint, especially, that they're not in there. I think with the NIL payments and turning that into employee contracts, or contracts that they don't want to call employee contracts but are employee contracts, the math, like, where are they getting that $15 to $20 million number coming from? Is that based off of, like, current NIL payouts? But how does that number change when everybody on the team is going to get it? If you bring it in-house, I don't think the schools are going to be able to say, hey, only the top guys who, you know, have this market value and work it out with the collective get paid. I think they're going to have to pay everybody, and it would behoove the student athletes, you know, they'd still call them that, to get together and unionize and collectively bargain that for themselves. I also did not have that this cushy relationship that people in charge of college football and people in charge of bowl games have, that they like each other because it's a symbiotic relationship where they both make each other's lives better. I did not have that possibly being a catalyst to getting NIL and all these collectives in-house at the universities, but I do think that the bowl people are a little delusional from it, because they're not going to be able to, like, withhold your payment for the entire season. They're going to have to pay you throughout it. And why wouldn't a kid still make the decision to sit out a bowl game he doesn't care about because his signing bonus is about to be three times what the last payout of it would be, or four times, or 10 times, or whatever the math would even out to?
Furthermore,
I don't think it's going to help the bowl game participation.
Even if it does a little bit, just think of it from an NFL model. Can you imagine if let's say the Bengals went up to Joe Burrow and said, you have to play. I know you're hurt, but you have to. I know you're a little hurt, but how hurt are you really? You have to play. Like, how quick does the NFLPA pounce?
Mm-hmm.
So who is representing players? This notion that you're going to say, well, you have to play 12 regular season games. Who is watching over that? Who is protecting the players versus injury on that? This is the can of worms, man. The can of worms is as big as can be, and there is no easy path for any of it. This is going to be complicated, convoluted, ugly. I think it's a longer path, even though all of this stuff is being said out loud, and they've come a long ways with acknowledging it. And don't give them credit for it, guys. This is about control. It's about control. It's the only way to get control back. Don't give them credit thinking that they're forward thinking or any of that. They're trying to protect their own asses. This is a guy on a bowl season director. What's he trying to protect? His entity, his livelihood. That's what he's trying to protect. That's what it's about. It's about control. Paul Feinbaum up next. Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
News, opinions, and insight, all before breakfast. Rise and shine with Morning Juice.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, 10:30, Thursday. Time to check in with our good buddy Paul Feinbaum, the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN, SEC Network. Paul, I'm going to let you choose your own adventure, my friend, today. Do you want to do legal ease, or do you want to do on-the-field fun first?
Oh, let's do the fun first.
We'll get to this stuff later. All right. Coming out of spring football, which Southeastern Conference teams have the most momentum, and which ones have the least? We've had spring football, and we've had the portal. The portal now closed, although guys are still in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the top, it's obviously Georgia, but I think the team with the momentum is Ole Miss. They really cleaned up both in the early portal, and they picked up a few more players now. And they took care of their defense, which really was struggling. I think they're a legitimate playoff team. It's not a team you think about very much because Lane Kiffin's the coach, and there's always more drama than significance, but they've had two 10-win seasons in the last 3 years, and I think they're ready for action. As far as the least, I think it's really probably Arkansas. That program just doesn't seem to be going anywhere, even though they brought in Bobby Petrino, yes, the same one who got fired there 11 years ago in a neck brace after an affair with someone that worked under him, to put it mildly. He's gone. He's back, and very likely Bo will be the head coach by the end of the season. That's how crazy things are.
All right, I want to ask a Kiffin question for you, because obviously this is a guy who's been around. We stumbled onto him last week because you forget that he was the head coach of the Raiders at like 31. Yeah. Is Ole Miss the perfect place for him, or do you think, and will he be there for a while, or do you think there is another move in him?
It is the perfect place, but again, we're talking about a man who's not yet 50, who often acts like a 17-year-old. So yeah, he will not be content. He came within literally a whisker of going to Auburn a couple of years ago and pulled back at the last moment. But I think there's another move in him, and I would urge you to keep your eye on a school in Gainesville if they make a change down there. Kiffin grew up a big Spurrier fan, and I think that would possibly happen if Billy Napier gets fired at the end of the season.
Is that just, and just for our audience, and even of the SEC schools I'm very familiar with, Ole Miss is a little down, certainly down the list, other than just from a 30,000-foot view of them. Is there a ceiling on what can be accomplished at Ole Miss, and is he up against it? Where would that job rank in SEC jobs for our audience who maybe isn't as familiar?
Oh, it's easily in the middle, and maybe even not even that high, because I mean, not to give you the SEC view, but just think about it. You just added Texas and Oklahoma, better jobs already. And then you have Alabama. I mentioned Florida, LSU, Georgia. I mean, we're getting Tennessee. Yeah. I mean, we're getting pretty deep into the middle of the pack right now already.
Yeah, you mentioned Florida. That's one of those ones where I'm very familiar with from my time down there. And one of those things that when they had two of the greatest coaches the last 50 years, they had incredible success with Spurrier and Meyer. And then in between, they just can't get it right, it seems like.
It's fascinating because there are, you know, Urban won two, Spurrier won one, and probably should have won two or three more. Urban could have won another one as well. And it's a school that you think about as a big time program, but their bad years are really so awful, and they haven't come close really since Urban left. Dan Mullen had a little bit of success, Jim McElwain had some, Will Muschamp had none, and Billy Napier is another average season away from being unemployed.
Did you mentioned McElwain? I haven't thought about him for a second, but immediately went to the fishing boat picture that everybody assumed that was him. What do you remember about seeing that picture first? And because, I mean, your show, that would be the perfect place for that type of theater. What do you remember about that?
I remember a couple of weeks after it was published, he was on the set with us at SEC Media Days, and yeah, he was just oblivious. I asked him about it, and he went around in some cosmic circle talking about being out in Montana during the summer and counting the Little Dipper in the constellations. And I'm like, I mean, this guy is not here for long. I mean, I didn't know what he was talking about. Nobody else did. And I had friends that said he was literally done at that moment.
Yeah, that was something else. It's funny, even when he like tried to come clean on it, it was like, yeah, I don't believe you. It looks so much like you. It's long been proven that it wasn't, but it was that was a lot of comedy on that. All right, buddy, we've had our fun. Your colleagues, Dan Murphy, Pete Thamel, with the story earlier this week out about a settlement coming on this $4 billion lawsuit. The NCAA is in so many court cases right now, and they just lose every one of them. Now we're going to have a settlement. Perhaps this is a gateway to pay for play. In that piece with Thamel and Murphy, they allude to a $20 million number. There's about a billion things that you start to ask questions about going forward. As you've had some time to digest all of that, what do you think are the next logical steps for this, and what are the next logical roadblocks in this being done quicker than maybe people think?
Number one, this is a big deal. Everywhere, every campus I've been on, athletic directors, presidents have pointed to the House case as the one that could undo the NCAA. So I think the big schools all realize that and are willing to pay. But the issue or the problem I have is is the middle class going to be able to afford this? Now, I realize they won't pay that much, but a lot of these schools don't have the money to pay anything, and I'm not sure this is going to be easily done. I mean, these are the Tony Petitti's and the Greg Sankey's sitting in this room saying this is what we need to do, but we saw this on the college football playoff a couple of years ago. It's hard to get a coalition together in the sport when everybody feels inferior to the Big Ten and the SEC.
I can't see a coalition that includes anybody other than those two, quite honestly, Paul. They're the only ones that are operating on the same wavelength of the Big Ten and the SEC. Why? How could those other conferences possibly? They threw around that they mentioned that $20 million number in the piece, and you say to yourself, okay, well, yeah, I understand how some can afford it, but some can't. Furthermore, who's going to represent the players in all of this? Because this is employers, right? This is an employee at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll spare you this is a tipping point in college sports because we've had about 10 of those in the last 2 years. But it does seem important. And again, you know, the average fan really doesn't care. And I'm not sure they should because, I mean, even though, I mean, we're both sitting there on the front line interviewing people about this every day, and my eyes glaze over when Pete Thamel starts breaking it down because the fans at this point truly don't care about anything other than can we get to the season and watch the games.
That's it, and that's the thing that that you keep coming back. It's funny, anytime I hear somebody, and you interview them, I interviewed a bunch of people, say, oh, this is the end, da, da, da. Nobody cares. They just want their football. And the craziest thing about all of this is while all of this chaos has been going on behind the scenes, this sport has never been bigger. It's never been more popular. Paul, it's the clear number two most popular sport in this country. It's not particularly close.
I was at a touchdown club Monday night in Memphis, and there was a guy that played, I mean, really, a guy, like an All-American on the Tennessee 71 team, a running back, mm-hmm. All-American. He said, you know, this is just not the same football. And I'm like going, buddy, sorry, but it is. And I looked at the room, and it was actually a quarterback from an SEC school in the audience. I said, is anybody not looking forward to the season? You go to a stadium on a Saturday morning, everybody's fired up. And I'm not even going to offer the betting line that gets every college student into the process. But it's the same. I mean, you don't. It's not like we get 48 home games like you get in the NBA or mm-hmm. or 80 in Major League Baseball. I mean, there's only six or seven of those moments that you go to a game at Ohio State or Michigan or Wisconsin or Alabama, and they are important, and fans care, and it doesn't matter to them what all this other stuff is.
No, it remains undefeated. A big game on campus is undefeated. Paul, thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciate you, my friend.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Bo.
Yeah, that's what Paul was mentioning there is really the key to all of this. We're in the minutia of it. Sometimes I think even we are too far in the minutia of it. The reality of it is that you just don't care. You want your football on Saturdays. Sometimes it's going to be on a Friday. You want your rivalries protected. You want to be able to root for your school. Does it matter to you if that kid out there representing you is no longer going to class every day physically? Does it matter if at some point he's an employee rather than even a student at all? I don't think it does to the majority of you. Yeah, there are some of you out there that will be bothered by it, and it'll be something that, and it's usually guys like the one that Paul just referred to there, a guy who played in the 70s at Tennessee. This isn't what I signed up for. No, it's not. It's different, but we've all changed and we've all evolved, and this thing got too popular, too big, too much money. And that's how you end up where you are now, where you have all of this changing. What's not going to change is you're going to wake up on a fall Saturday in this town and there will be a buzz. And you will walk down to that stadium, you'll do your tailgating, you'll walk into that stadium, you'll root on your Buckeyes, you'll do Carmen, Ohio at the end, and that's undefeated. That doesn't change no matter what happens with the rest of all of this. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable. And our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
friends like these. Who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, the consensus on the snake is non-poisonous. So, again, a lot of milk snake and those type of things. So, non-poisonous rodent eater. That's why I gave him a chance to live. Go out there and hope for the best, pal, and we'll see if he can continue to take out some rodents and survive Hank the Hawk, because that's going to be his number one predator, I would think. All right, time for a little thing or not a thing. Hit it.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First one up today, this a portion of Adam Jardy's interview, and Adam Jardy will be on with us in the 11 o'clock hour, but he was talking to Felix Akpara this week for the Columbus Dispatch. Within a week of Bradshaw's commitment, talking about the transfer from Kentucky, Akpara had decided to enter the portal, but the process had started before Bradshaw's addition. Said Akpara, quote, "Bradshaw didn't really have anything to do with this. When I committed to come back, then when everyone started leaving, I started questioning. That had been going on for like a week before Bradshaw even committed. The main rundown is I want to do what's best for me, and I felt Ohio State wasn't best for me at this point because the last 2 years wasn't the best. My family felt I needed a change, and I kind of felt I needed a change too." End quote. Thing or not a thing?
I like Felix a lot. I do not think this is the real truth, because everything that he alludes to here was either happening or had happened at the time when he confirmed that he was going to be coming back. So the inflection point is Bradshaw's commitment. And we talked about that when Bradshaw committed, that they're pretty duplicate. Can you play with 2 7-footers or 2 shot-blocking guys like that? Now, Bradshaw's more offensive-minded, Felix more defensive-minded. But, like, to me, I was looking at it going, like, in this version of college basketball, and really the sport, can you really have 2 bigs on the court, neither of which can shoot threes? And the reality is, no, you can't. So there was never going to be enough minutes where they both were on the court at the same time. And Felix wants to play and play a predominant role. So I respect everything he said here. I just don't necessarily believe it.
Yeah, it's a thing, obviously. But from his perspective, this is his truth. So as long as he feels and those around him are telling him this is what's best for you, that's, for him, all that matters. And so you wish him the best. You hope that this wasn't the situation that Jake Diebler would find himself in, entering May. Kind of hope a lot of this would be shored up by now, where they'd only have to, if anything, fill 1 roster spot. So
he's Bootsy. That's why I implemented the real truth on him. I'm not looking for your truth, pal. We need the real truth.
On Wednesday, the Big Ten released men's basketball opponents for the 24-25 season. Here's Ohio State's: home against Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, Oregon, Rutgers, and Washington. Away against Illinois, Minnesota, Penn State, Purdue, UCLA, USC, and Wisconsin. And home and aways with Indiana, Maryland, and Nebraska.
Thank God.
Thing or not a thing?
Thank God we protected that Nebraska basketball rivalry. Because they don't give a damn about Ohio State. That's why. They don't care. Ohio State will lift the ratings. It doesn't matter who they play. So Ohio State, and I hope Bjork changes this. I hope his attitude changes. Mr. Athletic Director, if you're listening, go fight for what's best for Ohio State. Okay? Stop propping up the rest of these clowns. The idea that you don't play home and aways against Michigan at Ohio State is shameful in basketball. That's a joke. Yeah, absolute joke. The idea that we got to prop up 2 schools who are not traditional Big Ten schools is laughable. Why in the hell are we doing home and away with Maryland and Nebraska? You could, quite honestly, you could give me Illinois, you could give me Purdue, you could give me Wisconsin, you could give me Michigan State, you could give me Michigan. I think the 3 should be Michigan State, Michigan, and Indiana, but fine. Then rotate Illinois in, rotate Wisconsin in, rotate Minnesota in, Purdue, fine. Those are all traditional teams. There's plenty of teams in this league. The idea that Ohio State has to prop up these teams is a joke. This is brutal, and I'm just sick of it. We saw it in football, and we've seen it in men's basketball now here, too. So, yeah, thing, Reese.
You're very fired up about it.
Sucks. It's nonsense.
It doesn't fire me up as much, but I do agree with you, especially on the point that Michigan should be a home and away for Ohio State every single year in basketball. And now they've talked about, like, there was a pushback to possibly extending some of these regular season conference games because, oh, well, like, you know, they're always talking about, like, oh, but that means more chances to lose. And it's like, yeah, but do we really need more of the dross that you schedule at the beginning of the year? Yes, everybody plays some of those marquee, you know, they go to a neutral site and they play a little tournament, so you get some games out of that. But if you really look at the out-of-conference schedule, it's worse than the football schedule that we've been been complaining about all offseason. And then, yeah, your home and away doesn't even include Michigan. Now, this year it will be home, but that you're not going to take a return trip up there. So for them, it's that factor. Also, the other thing I took note of away being UCLA and USC, I 100% assume that is one trip. That everybody who has a game at USC will also probably have a game at UCLA, and they'll send them out there on the same weekend, maybe play like a Thursday and a Sunday or something like that. I that says that to me. But again, the other stuff being more important, because there should just be more home and away series anyways. Three, I think, is too low. Figure out the numbers.
Two of the three can't be two teams that are not traditional rivals when you are the beacon of the conference.
USA Today with this. Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross and CEO Tom Garfinkel will host their third Formula One Miami Grand Prix, knowing their courageous venture into one of the world's fastest growing sports has elevated their NFL business. Ross recently entertained a stunning $10 billion offer for the control of the Dolphins, Hard Rock Stadium, and the F1 Miami race, which nearly matches the combined record-setting sales of the Denver Broncos, $4.65 billion in 2022, and Washington Commanders, $6.05 billion in 2023. Two people with direct knowledge of the situation told USA Today Sports they spoke on the condition of anonymity due to the sensitive nature of the matter. Ross declined the offer because he wants to keep the assets in his family, the two people said. Still, the offer shows that the ceiling for NFL franchise valuations and sports conglomerates continues to rise exponentially. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's a huge thing. The idea that if this is all real, that he entertained a $10 billion offer and turned it down tells you what the business you want to be in on this, right? So that stadium's not great. It's not in a great location. They put a ton of money into it, but the idea that you get the Dolphins and that he said no to it, and you get the F1 race and the stadium, all that, tells you how popular the sport is. Also, I think one thing that maybe sometimes Americans sleep on is how popular Miami is to foreigners. It is... you just can't even wrap your head around it. More so than L.A., way more so than New York, obviously. But, like, when you think about people... And probably the proximity is a part of it. But the way that Miami is viewed by Europeans, the way that Miami is viewed by people from the Middle East is like a vacation place to come and go. You can't even wrap your head around it until you go down there. The amount of money that's spent in Miami on a weekend. So, while... I don't know that we think of the Miami Dolphins as a glamorous NFL franchise. They are, because that city is.
I mean, it's a thing, and I wonder if Ross said, yeah, talk to me in 5 years, because if he's getting a $10 million offer now, they just wait till the next thing. He is 83 years old. So, yeah, you just wait a couple years, and your $10 million or the $10 billion offer is going to be a whole lot larger. We talked yesterday about Turner being on the outs with the NBA's new media rights. During an appearance on ESPN 850 in Cleveland yesterday, TNT's Charles Barkley said he's got an out if Turner loses the NBA. Quote, I signed a 10-year deal 2 years ago, but one of the things I did is I put an opt-out after a couple of years because I wanted to make sure I covered my ass when it comes to this situation. If I wanted to go to Amazon, because we thought it was going to be Apple, to be honest with you. Adding, quote, so the one thing I did in my new contract, I sat down and I said, wait a minute now, if you guys lose the NBA, I want to make sure I can get out of here. So I'm actually in a really great position, end quote. Thing or not a thing?
I love Chuck. But why would Turner want to pay any of those guys if they lost the NBA? They don't have any sports anymore. They would, I guess you could have Ernie still do the NHL. I mean, Ernie's not doing NHL at his age.
They could have him come around for the tournament every March.
Yeah.
Put Chuck in the booth for Braves games.
Yeah, like they're not, that ain't it. So like, I mean, he's talking about how smart it is to put all of this in. I don't see any scenario where like Turner wouldn't say, yeah, go ahead. I would think the other side of it would be they probably would want those guys all to leave because they don't want to compensate people for not doing a show that no longer exists. My hunch is that wherever this thing goes, whether it's Amazon, Apple, that Chuck, Shaq, Kenny, Ernie's the only one I don't know about just because, and he's kind of the key to the whole thing, is just he's been a Turner guy his whole life, and at his age, does he want to go to another venture? That's the only one I don't know about. My guess is it'd be a package deal to either ESPN or whatever the new landing spot for the NBA is.
Yeah, like it. I don't think it was stupid for Chuck to include this out in there, but I agree with you that like when I like as you think about through the steps, if that were to happen and this was the scenario they were going through, that why would TNT they would just terminate the contracts and they wouldn't continue to employ you. That like kind of stuff only makes sense. I feel like more like ESPN for guys who find a niche in a sport but are like journalist TV guys at first, and then ESPN get like I'm thinking like John Buchagras. They got rid of the NHL, maybe he would be like I'm ready to move on.
Well, they did, and he still did SportsCenter.
I know, right? So he didn't even do it.
There's no spot.
But maybe he didn't have the out.
There's no spot for Chuck, though. That's the thing. Like, if you don't have the NBA, what's the point?
No, and they want to continue to pay him, yeah.
Final hour up next. We hit a little higher or lower. Adam Jardy at the bottom of the hour on the Buckeye basketball roster where it stands. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man has spent the past 18 years telling you how much he hates people. And yes, that probably means you, too. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So I had not seen that with the basketball until you put it in the I didn't see it. I missed it yesterday.
It was an email.
I just don't for the life of me understand why leadership at Ohio State allows for this. I don't get it. There's really smart people up there who have done a lot of really great, innovative, smart things. And this is the most powerful athletic department in the country. Full stop. But they allow themselves to be sacrificial lambs for this conference. And it is a big deal that you have a home and away with three Big Ten teams. And two of the three are Maryland and Nebraska.
Do you think that
why the hell is Nebraska? Nebraska's three teams should be Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois or Wisconsin. Go out there and play. Who is protecting Ohio State's house? Think about your gate when Nebraska comes into town. Think about when Maryland comes to town versus coming to town with Michigan or Michigan State.
Yeah, but you still get those games from
it. I understand, but the idea that these teams, you should always have those teams protected. If you want to do the away thing, fine. Then swap out Illinois for Maryland and give me Purdue for Nebraska. Ohio State's earned that. They've earned it. Stop being bullied by this conference and stop carrying the water for the clowns at the bottom of this league. You did it in football. You do it in men's basketball. It's not fair to the fan base, man. It's not. Good luck with the tickets on the Nebraska game.
I don't know. I don't know what they. It's hard when you look at the scheduling, both football and basketball, to know what Ohio State wants, or is it just completely acquiescing to in the conference schedule to the Big Ten? Is that something that they've all worked on? For some reason, they seem to be at least in agreement that it is part of Ohio State's responsibility to lift some of these teams and seem to be okay with it.
We'll just do some comparison. Right, for other schools in the conference. Like if you look at Michigan State, they're home and away, Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota.
Okay. Okay.
For Oregon.
So those are all Big Ten teams.
I'd rather have Illinois, Michigan, Minnesota than the
of
three.
Of course you would.
I'm just
Indiana,
saying, like,
Maryland,
the Michigan
Nebraska.
State,
give me
Michigan State, Michigan. So
give me Michigan's.
Michigan will have Michigan State, Purdue, and Rutgers.
So they got to lift Rutgers. By the way, next year, Rutgers is a good ticket. They're going to have two of the top
Rutgers
five players in the country. Yeah, Rutgers has two of the top five players in the country coming in next year. We will get to see them at
home. To your point, Purdue, home and home, Michigan, Penn State, Purdue, Indiana, Michigan, Rutgers.
So they're lifting Rutgers. What's Indiana doing?
Indiana's got Ohio State, Penn State, Purdue.
Okay. What do the West Coast teams look like? I'm sure like UCLA and USC. Yeah. Do they pair those two together?
Oregon's got UCLA, USC, and Washington as home and away. So they're USC, keeping the West UCLA. Coast doing so home they, and homes.
Now
home
that's interesting because they didn't do that in football, if you remember. In football, they didn't have them play each other. all the time, which I thought was stupid. But they are in basketball because why?
They can stay on the same side of the country. Yeah.
Right. Because it makes financial sense to be able to do it. Ugh. Nebraska. Maryland. Joke. Absolute joke.
You don't like when we get to see Fred Hoiberg out there in Nebraska once a year?
No, I don't.
He's such a lively, fun guy.
I understand it, but like just Bjork's got to, he's got to push back on this stuff going forward. Like this was a joke. This expanded Big Ten, what they did to Ohio State in football, what they did in basketball, it's not right at all. Time for a little higher, lower. Hit it.
Bishop and Friends present Higher or Lower.
Sponsored by the Waterworks. Trust the pros at the Waterworks for all your plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling needs. Visit thewaterworks.com today to get started.
All right, so this week's Higher or Lower is a way too early NFL quarterback rankings for 2024. Baby. So not only are you getting quarterback rankings for all 32 teams, you're getting who their potential starter or likely starter is going to be. This comes to us from SportsNot. SportsNot.com. Again, NFL quarterback rankings 2024. And part of that headline is from Patrick Mahomes to Gardner Minshew. So you could probably guess where number one's going to start. Also, did you see Mahomes get into it wrestling-wise on Monday night? They were in Kansas City.
No.
And so he showed up with, as a guest of Logan Paul, he showed up with a couple of his offensive lineman buddies, and he handed Logan Paul three of his Super Bowl rings. And Logan Paul puts them on and goes to punch one of the other characters.
Okay.
And then that character that was supposed to get punched ducks, and Logan Paul hits the other bad guy in the, oh no, you idiot!
Yeah.
And the good guy goes with another big guy to confront Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes' linemen stand up, and there's a big confrontation, and it pops the crowd.
Okay. Here's my question. So, what Mahomes' approval rating in that area is a billion. Let me ask you this. Isn't Logan Paul a villain?
Kind of. The Paul brothers are a little, what's it like, radioactive to people as far as like their PR image can be sometimes. So I don't know if you'd want to.
In wrestling, Logan Paul's a heel, but I think Mahomes is partnering with Prime on this one.
Oh,
so
I see.
Well, if you partner with Prime, you're probably making money no matter what people think about the Paul brothers. That stuff seems to be selling pretty decently. But my question on it is, I hope they're replica rings, because are we entering, we had the Jason Kelce story, losing his ring tied to a sock in a vat of Skyline chili. Are we entering an era where the best players don't care about their Super Bowl rings?
He's got three of them.
He got three of them, and maybe they're...
Yeah, but he gave them all three. He did.
See, they used to be wearable, too.
Now like in the old days,
now they're so huge, you can't even wear them.
All right, so we'll start at two, and I'll just read a couple off, because I think we could probably pull the audience so they'd have their top five, similar to Sports Knots. Number two, Josh Allen. Number three, Lamar Jackson. Number four, Joe Burrow. Number five, Dak Prescott. Higher or lower for any of those?
I mean, it's a health concern with Joe Burrow, but I think he should be second. I think he's proven that he's better than Josh Allen.
Give me six through ten, just so I have the context.
So at number six, you've got Aaron Rodgers. Seven, Justin Herbert. Eight, Matt Stafford. Nine, Tua Tagovailoa. 10, Kirk Cousins.
Tua Cousins. Okay. I feel like CJ should have been in the top 10. What do you do? This is a fascinating list, because Rodgers at six, coming off of what he's coming off of, Stafford was really good last year on that Rams team. He's won a Super Bowl more recently. I think they probably have Stafford too low on this. The Joe Burrow one is so difficult because, and we love Joe, but he's played four NFL seasons and he's lost the majority of two to injury. When he's healthy, he's played in the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game. So how do you, I guess if healthy, I would have Burrow too, but you have to take health into it, right? Availability is an important ability. And he's missed two of the four seasons. If all things were created equal and you were like drafting a franchise, Mahomes is the clear number one. I think Allen would probably be number two, even over a healthy Burrow, for the belief that Allen could, because of his ability to run and do other things, he might go ahead of Joe. Joe's been in a pretty good spot his entire time in the league. They had weapons, in Cincinnati the majority of the time he's been there. That doesn't diminish what he's done. He's clutch. He's all those things. But I would think that he would maybe be a little bit higher. A healthy Joe is two or three. I would have Lamar down just a little, but in the top five. Dak at five is an interesting one. That's very interesting. The other thing that jumps out to me about this list, guys, is like it's maybe not as deep and great as we thought it was two or three years ago. Because, like, Tua's number nine. I don't know that I love Tua.
And is that a Mike McDaniel situation with Tyreek Hill, or is Tua actually, has he gotten that much better?
Like, Cousins is 10? That seems high to me.
I think
for him.
We're waiting for some young guys still to hit, too.
Lawrence?
Like, Lawrence and later. So, 2021 to later. Because you were saying C.J. Stroud, like, that's where it's confusing. Like, wait, are we starting a franchise? Because if you're starting a franchise right now, you're taking C.J. Stroud above a lot of those guys 6 through 10. Even Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford, sure, yeah. Kirk Cousins, you're definitely taking them because of the... And that's the problem. We follow this every week with like critiquing somebody else's rankings with higher or lower. Well, what are you ranking? Are we ranking these quarterbacks on a game, he is definitely healthy, or are we ranking it on the injury factor? Are we ranking it on the accomplishments of what these quarterbacks have done? Or are we doing what Bo said? Like, if you're starting a franchise, are we picking quarterbacks?
Like, I think you're probably doing if you have them for just this season. I think one thing about it, like, I think Herbert, if you asked, Herbert is way too low. If you asked NFL people, I think Herbert would be in the top four. Like, if they were, give me a guy for this season, I think Herbert would be really high. I think a lot of people view what his lack of success on the field as he was coached by a bozo.
Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers should be lower too. I mean, it's been 2 years since we've seen him. I mean, obviously hurt for basically the entire season except for four plays last year, but it's been 2 years since we've seen him play at that MVP level. And with his age and just coming back from a ruptured Achilles, I'm not so sure he ever gets back even close to that level. When it falls off for a quarterback, except for Tom Brady, they all fall off. And I'm not saying that he's there, but I don't have a ton of confidence that he's not right now because I haven't seen him really play at that level that we are giving him the credit of for two seasons.
At 11 on this list, Tom Brady. I'm completely kidding. At 11's Jared Goff, 12 Jordan Love, 13 CJ Stroud. Higher or lower for Stroud at 13?
He's higher. Goff's insulted here, too. Goff's better than Tua. That's a joke. That's an absolute joke. I mean, Goff quarterbacked in a Super Bowl. Goff quarterbacked the Lions to the NFC Championship game. He's better than Tua. He's better than Cousins.
Tua just led the league in passing last year. I think that's what it is.
With the most weapons and one of the more innovative coach. Like, who's trading weapons with Miami? There aren't many teams that wouldn't. Maybe San Francisco wouldn't trade with Miami. Waddle Hill. Like, come on.
Yeah, and it's also weird that, like, the grouping you came here, because at least with C.J. Stroud and Jordan Love, it's like, okay, we'll put them up there, definitely in the top half, not quite top 10. And I think that those two guys are still on, like, okay, do it a second year, just so I know that it wasn't a fluke or anything. And I'm not saying that either is going to be, but that's what I would think for that ranking. But Goff's not in that. Goff's done it in two, like you said, he's done it in two different places. He's been successful. And when I was saying with Tua, I'm not so sure if it's a Mike McDaniel, Tyreek Hill situation or he did actually improve. I'm sure Goff has improved in his career. He has gotten better. You can see it. It is material stuff that you can hold that he has gotten better and has elevated even in Detroit. Didn't go, it didn't work out for my first team. He's done a good job with that. So I think, I think he should be in the top 10 among some of those guys that we talked about moving out of it.
Just real quick before we skedaddle, this list was one of two lists I was going to choose for higher or lower. The other was best rookie seasons by a quarterback of all time. I chose this one in particular because at 18 is Baker Mayfield. At 19 is Deshaun Watson. 17 is Russell Wilson, just for reference.
More on that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable. And our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
service call 1-800-FURNACE.
Not interested in Iowa football? Too bad. Shops will tell you about it anyway. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. Adam Jardy coming up in about 13 minutes from now on the State of the Buckeye basketball roster. Bishop and Friends, of course, sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Fast, sustainable weight loss without medications. A solution for weight loss. Awaken 180 Weight Loss. So that list you had, Reese, the marking of that was Baker 18, Deshaun 19,
correct.
Russell 20. All right, let me just pose this to you. As a Browns fan, would you, if you could go back in time, put a banana in Mr. Fusion and go back, would you have just kept Baker Mayfield?
Man, it's...
Well, Reese, let's get Reese, because he's the diehard. You're the diehard.
And this is with hindsight, though, right? That's what you said?
Knowing what we know now.
You know what you know now.
No.
Is there a secret third option of a third guy, different quarterback?
No. If it's the... I don't love the Watson thing, but I also know that Baker wasn't the guy for Kevin Stefanski. So... I don't think so.
All right, Chops. Non-invested, non-Browns fan.
I think you do, because at the very least, Baker Mayfield playing and being on the roster is better than the basically lack of availability for Deshaun Watson that you've had. And it's actually been the guys outside of Deshaun that have played better. So I don't know. Can I just keep Jacoby? That might have been better. We should have just signed Flacco very beginning.
Yeah, I just wonder what the... I think the alternatives at that... Okay, so this isn't... As with most things, this entire conversation operates in the gray, right? Because what you have to understand about professional athletes is they're not characters in a video game. So... You're not just trading Baker Mayfield and getting Deshaun Watson. You're getting all that comes with both of them, and you're losing all that comes with both of them. So at the time of the Baker Mayfield trade, it was impossible, truly, for him to continue as the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. It had reached such an impasse coming out of Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad posting the videos of that. That broke Baker, broke him. He was a broken man that with what happened there. He was devastated by that. He and Odell used to play Call of Duty. A week before that, it was the most betrayal of a betrayal as possible when Odell's dad put that video out. So all of a sudden now that's in the public. He's a broken man. Baker's a front runner. I've said it 1,000 times. I don't mean it entirely as a slap in the face. It's not. When things are going great, he's awesome and he will lead and he's all those things, but he has to have the room push him. He has to have the room behind him. He had lost the room. He completely lost the room. So there was no real path forward with him in Cleveland. And to your point, Reese, no. Him with Stefanski's offense was never going to work because, and it's going to be a challenge for Watson too, Baker Mayfield is not see it, rip it guy. He's not. It's not what he is. He's more of a freewheeler.
It was Christmas Day where I was like, this isn't it anymore.
Yeah. He didn't trust Stefanski. Stefanski didn't trust him. So they were moving one way or another. Watson became available. Franchise quarterbacks never become available. And at the time of acquisition, that's exactly what Deshaun Watson was. He was a franchise quarterback in his prime. Now, that's the other video game part of it. Nobody could have ever predicted what was going to happen from a suspension standpoint. No one could ever have predicted what was going to happen mentally to him after having all of his dirty laundry aired publicly. No one could have predicted the injuries. Those things were not predictive. Would you want that deal back and all the first round picks back and all of it? Okay, fine. Sure, you would in retrospect. But what are you doing at quarterback then? Who were the options at that time? The Minnesota Vikings were not going to be in the business of trading away Kirk Cousins, despite some popular thoughts at that time that Cousins was available. He was not available. So what were your options if you moved off of Baker? They went with Jacoby as the backup. Could you have called San Francisco for Jimmy Garoppolo? Maybe, and that probably would have been a good fit. Flacco was available. You could have maybe gone in that direction. But that's what makes this so tricky to look back on. And I think it's really critical to remember where Baker was headspace and where he was as a player at the time those decisions were made.
What also makes it impossible to look back on is the idea of what we know now, because if you keep the picks and roll with Baker, but do you have to play Baker, or could they enter, you know, knowing that, well, you basically had two seasons of the first Deshaun Watson, exciting at the end with Joe Flacco, and you made a playoff game. That is very important for the Browns franchise. But would you have been better off tanking that first year where Deshaun barely played, getting a top pick, having a quarterback, and now in going into this year, you'd have a second year guy on a rookie deal and two more first round picks?
Well, they weren't going to tank because the roster's too good.
Yeah, no position to tank.
So with Jacoby Brissett, you were going to go 500. So there was no way to tank it out. NFL, who were, I'm trying to think. So the Watson was acquired in the
22.
Before the 2022.
Like March 22. Season. Yeah. Because he had included the 2022 pick as well.
Yeah. All right. So let's just say that they wanted to go veteran and then draft, try to draft a quarterback. So the 2022 draft is Pickett. So this is also factors into their decision.
There was nobody available for
them.
There's
no quarterbacks in the draft. They were looking into some quarterbacks like Malik Willis. Like there were some quarterbacks they were interested in, and they maybe were going to take a quarterback anyway. So if they had somehow kept Baker or gone in a different direction, it was possible. But there was nobody there. And so then you go to 2023. So if you don't address quarterback in 2022, and let's say you piecemeal it together with like a Garoppolo Flacco situation. Now you're talking about 2023 in need of a quarterback. So that gets you like in the Will Levis business, because you're going to be picking in the 20s. You're not going to be picking high. And yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks went, this goes back to why Atlanta did what it did. You can agree with it or disagree with it, but the reason they did it is we're too good. We're never going to have a chance to pick a top flight quarterback again. So let's take one now and roll the dice and we'll develop him, because we're not going to be in this position again. Because in 2023, three quarterbacks go in the first four picks, Bryce, CJ, and Richardson.
So yeah, you'd have to
pick one.
Bottom out, and the Browns weren't going to get
there. They're too good. The roster was too good.
I think, the hindsight is that neither option was good, actually. And they went with one of them, and it turned out bad because, well, so far it has turned out bad. All could change a year from now if Deshaun plays awesome this year.
Yeah, John with this one, he said if the Browns didn't trade for Watson, they would have been all in on Lamar Jackson. I don't think they would have, because he is not a scheme fit for this either.
Plus, remember, nobody wanted to be all in on that because nobody wanted. Did. But I don't know what that would have done, because then Deshaun maybe wouldn't have. Would he have gotten the guaranteed deal wherever he did go?
With Atlanta.
Yes, for sure.
The butterfly effect.
He would have went to Atlanta, New Orleans, or Carolina on a fully guaranteed. Everyone was, he was getting that
like deal. That deal was there for other, from everybody. Other teams. Yeah. So
nobody was going to do the thing with Lamar, though. That became clear.
I would have let Baker play out the fifth year, then trade up in the draft for a top tier quarterback.
Who would that have been?
No one is trading, giving up a chance to draft a top tier quarterback. Baker wanted to be backed up by the organization, but he lost the locker. My issue with Watson is he sat out a year. He did. I mean, in retrospect, we all know that. But at the time of Watson, the issue had nothing to do with his play. It was going to be the off-field stuff. Could you stomach that? That was going to be the issue. Roster building is a tough thing. Jake Diebler's trying to do it right now. Adam Jardy on where we stand. Coming up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, the portal has closed. Players, however, are still in it. And that is the job of Jake Diebler, who's putting this team together. A man who's been on the floor with this and all over it. Our good buddy Adam Jardy, Ohio State, covers the Buckeyes at the Dispatch, the best in the business. Okay, let's just go back, buddy. And if you were to tell Jake at the end of March that his roster would be what it is now, would he take it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think you look at, you know, retaining a couple of important pieces, certainly not as many pieces as I think some of us might have expected them to retain, but you keep, you know, a guy like Bruce Thornton, you keep some young talent, some guys who could reasonably step into bigger roles next year, and then you add some really talented transfer dudes. I mean, you know, Aaron Bradshaw is the first McDonald's All-American to join this roster since D'Angelo. You know, you look at some of the other additions that they've made. I think, you know, it's easy to say, oh, you needed to grow through, you know, maybe Felix and Roddy, and you want to keep those guys. And certainly to an extent you do. But at the same time, this program hasn't won the last 2 years. You know, they're trying to get back to the tournament. And so I think there was a real need to increase the level of competition and the overall level of depth. And I think with still two spots available at this point, I think they're making good progress on that.
The crazy thing about all of this is that the guy who, if it wasn't going to be Jake, it was, most of us probably felt like it was, by the end, it was going to be Dusty May, and he's right up the road. So how closely are you watching what May is doing at Michigan juxtaposed to what Jake is doing here?
I mean, it's fascinating, and I think this is going to be one of the most interesting storylines in the Big Ten for the next several years as it plays out, because you have two guys that were both heavily considered for the same job, and both of them on 5-year contracts. And the interesting thing is, you know, how much of Florida Atlantic was Dusty going to bring with him wherever he went? And certainly we've seen him, bring, you know, some players with him. So like that kind of complicates it a little bit, because he's starting from a position of, you know, bringing players with him from another school, and Jake's trying to hang on to the guys that he has. But, you know, you look at them assembling their rosters and the way that they've tried to rebuild after two disappointing years, is really fascinating. And then you add in Roddy Gale, and I think that's, you know, if there's a most interesting storyline in the Big Ten next year, it's going to be Roddy Gale coming back to Ohio State playing for Michigan and playing for a coach that was heavily considered by Ohio State. That's, sign me up for that.
Yeah, you, like, if May would have got the job, would he have kept Roddy? I mean, that's, you know,
right?
It's such a crazy, crazy thing. But this is where we are in the sport. Great piece with you with Akpara. So when Bradshaw signed, I was on here and I said, I just don't understand in today's day and age how you could play two bigs, neither of which can shoot threes at the same time. So I said that, and I said, I don't understand how this is going to work. I had confusion right away in terms of it. You never turn down a talent like Bradshaw. Totally get it. In your piece though, Felix says that had nothing to do with it. To me, I don't know if I totally believe him. Did you?
I don't know that I totally believe him either. And it, you know, I don't want to out and out accuse somebody of lying necessarily, because that just doesn't seem like the right thing to do. And I think there's some, maybe some element to that, but I do think it's hard to believe that it's not at least a factor in all of this. And I do think, like, losing guys like Roddy, you know, I'm sure that has an impact on someone like Felix. And, you know, he's lived in Tennessee, and I think there's some real ties there that matters to him. But I too had real questions about how that looks. You know, can you play those guys together? And if you do, you know, what does that look like? I couldn't close my eyes and picture a 6'11", 235-pound guy on the court with a 7'1", 220-pound guy. And who do you guard? And, like, how does that work? I had some real questions about it. I'm sad we won't get to see how it works out, because it would have been really interesting for sure. But I have to believe that Aaron Bradshaw coming to Ohio State had more than a 0% chance of Felix Akpara, or more than a 0% impact on Felix Akpara deciding to leave.
I couldn't agree with you more. Talking to the great Adam Jardy of the Dispatch, covers the Buckeye team. You mentioned the two scholarships that are out there remaining. Is this big game hunting, or is this pieces?
I think it's a little bit of both, because, you know, you still need another forward, and I think you probably need another center. You know, and how you get to that point, and could landing one of those impact how the other piece looks, you know, possibly. But I think you're seeing Ohio State in a tough spot a little bit right now when it comes to trying to land guys in the portal, because, you know, trying to thread that needle of bringing in a guy who might be a second or third player at that position, nobody wants to hear that in the portal right now. Everybody wants to go somewhere and be the guy. And so that's why even like getting Micah Parrish, you know, from San Diego State, you know, maybe he starts in a 3-guard lineup. He's going to play a lot, but they didn't bring him in and say, listen, we're giving you 30 to 35 minutes. Go be the guy. Like, that's not what they recruited him for. They've got Bruce and Nietzsche already to handle that role. threading that needle is really difficult. I think that's where Ohio State's found itself the last couple of weeks. I think that's why they've missed out on a couple of guys. But, yeah, I think at least one of the two positions that they're still trying to get ends up being an impactful player and certainly a guy who will contribute at a reasonably high level this year.
Adam, don't they need a 25 to 30 minute a night knockdown shooter? I'm sure those don't grow on trees, but like they got it right now. I look at this roster and I just go, okay, who's spacing? Who's knocking down shots in the corner when you're running pick and roll and ISO?
Yeah. I mean, that is the big question. And until this roster is fully assembled and we start trying to figure out how these pieces fit, like that is my biggest question. It's been my biggest question. Obviously, you know, shooting is a difficult skill to go out and acquire in the portal. Everybody wants to add shooting. I think right now the most reasonable expectation for me for Ohio State next year is that they're assuming that Bruce is going to shoot at a higher level than he did. Michi's going to shoot at a higher level than he did. And, you know, like Junie Mobley's going to come in and be able to knock down some shots. I do think he's going to play a lot. I think they're hoping right now that across the board, they just get a little bit more from a couple of guys. And I don't think you can expect someone who's a 32% shooter to suddenly become a 42% shooter. Like that doesn't really happen. But I think, you know, Bruce shot like 37% from three as a freshman and like 33% as a sophomore. Can he get back to 38-39% as a junior? That's probably realistic. And if he does, then does that mean that Michi gets a couple more open shots and he goes from 32 to 36 and, you know, and then you just kind of trickle that effect across the roster. I certainly thought it would have been nice to see them, go find another Jameson Battle. But I guess those guys are tough to find.
They are very difficult to find. If this is it and they don't get that significant piece, what is, as you understand it, how do you think this rotation looks? You're playing seven or eight at best. Who are the guys that make that up?
Well, I mean, I think they probably go eight or nine deep because of the pace and tempo that Diebler wants to play with. And we saw that, you know, as the season progressed. And so, you know, off the top of my head, like really the only guy in the roster that I wouldn't expect to have a significant role is Kalen Etzler. And I don't want to just like single him out, but he hasn't played any sort of reasonable role at any point in his career. Maybe he gets there, but I mean, otherwise I think you're looking at, you know, 9 or 10 guys who are all going to be playing some kind of role on this team right now to where they want to pressure and play with tempo and pace and all of those things. So I expect it to be a little bit deeper of a rotation than, you know, what we've seen maybe the last 2-3 years, because I think they're going to need that a little bit out of necessity if they want to play the way Diebler wants to play.
Get you out of here on this one. The Big Ten basketball schedules came out. Our home and aways are Indiana, which makes sense, and then Maryland and Nebraska. Now, I have big beef with this in football when Ohio State acquiesced to Big Ten and corporate partners and television partners and played the schedule that they're going to play. You don't play USC for 3 or 4 years. There's a joke here on the football side of things. Does Ohio State fight for this stuff? Or what is your understanding of the idea of the home and away is not being, at least two of them being Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana, Illinois? Why don't they get what they want? Or do they not care?
I mean, I think that they care, and I think they probably would certainly like to have those kinds of matchups more frequently. I know, like this last year, Holtman fought for that. Like, he really was upset with the home schedule the year before and the teams that they got. It is something that matters to them. I just think it's a little bit of a different deal when it comes to basketball, because in this new model where if you're only playing three teams home and away, you know, can you realistically, if you're, let's just take Michigan for an example, like they're going to, I didn't look, but I'm assuming that Michigan State is one of their home and homes.
It is.
For both of them, like, can you specify, okay, that's a home and home, and also Ohio State's a home and home? Like, if you're only getting three teams like that, it just sort of, it very quickly boils down to math. And I would like
to see it. Of the traditionals, buddy, just real quick, of the traditionals, like Michigan State, Michigan's getting Michigan State and Purdue. So they get two of the three, and we don't even get two of the three.
Yeah, like, yeah, and I suppose Indiana is going to get Purdue twice.
They do. They get Purdue, you know, and us.
They get Purdue twice, Ohio State twice. Yeah, it's. I do think it's a little bit garbage. And when you think about, like, traditionally, who are you going to get to play a couple of times? Who do fans want to see? I mean, no disrespect to some of the other teams in the Big Ten, but if you're trying to sell seats in Columbus, Ohio, they're more likely to come yeah, see a Big Ten team that they care about and have known historically than a new one. So I'm with you on that. It's definitely a topic, I think, going forward. You know, what Ohio State should do as far as Big Ten scheduling, how it should try to throw its weight around. Probably something to put on Ross's radar here as he settles in this summer.
You listening, Ross? I know you are. We're telling you how to do it. Appreciate you, buddy, as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bo. Great to talk to you.
All right, good buddy Adam Jardy, the best in the business on the Buckeye beat at the Dispatch. Three things on a Thursday. Up next, Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, Reese, what do you have on the poll?
Daily Fan Poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. Today's fan poll asks, what's the best thing about the Kentucky Derby? The races, mint juleps, ladies' hats, or Bob Baffert's hair? Well, it can't be Bob Baffert's hair at the Kentucky Derby because he ain't allowed back. But that's getting 18% of respondents. 42% say the races, 27% say the mint juleps, ladies' hats, just getting 12%.
The people watching, honestly, it's better to watch on television because it's so quick and it's a full day of racing. So the Kentucky Derby's over in 2 minutes. The pomp and circumstance leading up is pretty undefeated, and my old Kentucky home's pretty undefeated, and the people watching's undefeated.
Yeah, I think
that's
probably
what it is.
I think it's ladies' hats slash the people in the middle, too. I need a combination of shots of what's going on in both pieces of the world of the Kentucky Derby.
It is the one place I've ever been where it shows the entire cross section of American humanity. It's all there. Every bit of it.
Every demographic is there for
it's
you.
It's all there. Every single box is checked. Three things on a Thursday. Hit it.
One, two. Three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me, and nothing more than I just wanted to say this because it just happened in the last couple of minutes. General Axel Booty has entered the transfer portal. The quarterback from Oklahoma. So he's from the famous Booty quarterback family. Josh and John David Booty. These are all from Evangel Christian in Shreveport, Louisiana. His dad is not one of those two. They are his uncles. But they chose to name the kid General Booty, and his middle name is Axel. Fantastic.
Yeah, that was new. I knew about General Booty. I did not know his middle name was also Axel. So that just adds to the lore. All right, to update you guys.
By the way, General Axel Booty, 4 different high schools. 2 in California, 1 in Texas.
I got my car back yesterday.
There you go.
They confirmed, yeah, it was running real bad when we first started it up, but they did some tinkering around just to like try to diagnose it. And they did one thing that they said then made it run, but we have to put this piece back. And then when they put that piece back, then it was running fine. And they're like, we can't get it to repeat the issues that they did see. They confirmed that they saw him at first. But he's like, but since we can't see him now, we don't know exactly if we should replace the thing that we were trying to diagnose. And he's like, and now it's running. So I'm going to give it back to you. But I do want you to know that it could just come up again at any given point. But the nice thing was he didn't charge me for the diagnostic work or anything. So
it's on the edge.
They just gave it back to me. So, yeah, I drove J-Lo's car to work today.
Speaking of living on the brink, you've got Bruins right now with a 3-2 lead on the Maple Leafs. They've got game 6 tonight. No Austin Matthews for Toronto.
He's just got an illness, too. It's not an injury. He's just sick. Pretty wild. That's kind of scary. Like a professional athlete not be able to get healthy in a short period of time. It's been several days now. Number two for me, I saw this from Bill Simmons this morning, making the prediction that the Turner will be out of the NBA negotiations going forward and it'll be the end of it. That will be the end of an era. My entire life, Turner has had the NBA. They've had the All-Star game my entire life. They've had the NBA my entire life. Inside the NBA, you could argue, is the most influential sports show. It's in the conversation ever. I don't watch it as much as I used to because it's on really late at night now, but it's still great when I do see clips of it, when I see it. Be a sad day if that's the truth.
And a new sports Emmy category kind of opens up again because those guys clean up over there. Pro Football Network, thanks for letting us know this one. So Jermaine Burton, Bengals draft choice. If he chooses his college number, which was number 3 when he was at Alabama, first time being a Bengals wide receiver, then the trio of T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and Burton would be 513, which for those who are in the know, that's the area code of Cincinnati. So obviously the stories would write themselves if they have a trio of wide receivers that you can line up and say 513 in Cincinnati. But then friend of the program, Jay Morrison, he's who brought me along to this, he quote tweeted and said, which Skyline Chili location will host the first photo shoot? Yeah, get those guys in there, 513 at a Skyline, boom, print it.
So this of NBC Sports Washington, the United States National Park Service has determined that the demolition of RFK Stadium can proceed. So no, they're going to be knocking that old building down. They found the removal of the facility won't create any negative impact on the environment, natural, cultural, or human.
So, I wonder if they'll try to build the new one there.
On that site? Probably the best spot for it.
I've only been to D.C. a handful of times. I can't speak to where the best... I mean, that was a good spot for sure. Yeah, that's very interesting. Number 3 for me. So I said I watched the pilot of One Tree Hill last night, and then last week we had watched some Friday Night Lights with NBC. Basically, my whole reason for this is for him to not watch YouTube things that are fed to him. I just want him to watch good stuff if he's going to watch stuff.
You be the algorithm for him.
I'm handling it. I'm sorting it out. So I've come away with this, though, in watching this. The kid who can shoot it, and I don't know the characters on this One Tree Hill show at all, but the kid who's like the big bad, he must have played basketball because he's got a legit stroke. Like, he can play. There's no question. And the same I would say, and I know that he did not play high school football, Tim Riggins is a damn convincing football player. You see him run with the ball, it looks like what a fullback would look like. So good job out of casting on both of those.
Yeah, I don't know enough. I was looking at the IMDb page One Tree Hill, but I don't know about the characters.
J-Lo will know what I'm talking about.
I'll have to ask her about that. I'll report back tomorrow. This one, I actually had a good customer service experience. I was very shocked. I tried to stay calm during the call. We were troubleshooting a broken TV. So one of the two TVs in my living room isn't working right, but I'm past the manufacturer warranty for it. None of those methods worked. So then they asked me, okay, send us some info and we can confirm a few more things. We might be able to help you out. They're just going to send me another brand new TV, which is not what I thought was going to be the scenario going through it. So thank you to all the customer service people that helped me out, because usually those calls don't go very well and they don't leave me in a good mood after, we'll say.
Finally, for me, a shout out to the morning crew at Channel 6, perusing around local stations this morning. The guys decided over there to go live to Anthony Precourt's trophy case. And they must have just had a camera person just shooting live on an empty shelf in one of their storage rooms. That is what you would call great trolling.
Well played, yeah. All right, Rothman and Ice up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. The Guardians have been working overtime the last few games. 4 straight games have gone into extra innings. Last night, a 3-2 win over the Astros is a +150 underdog. Tonight, Cleveland is +114 on the money line. Cleveland's currently -170 to make the playoffs, +135 to win the AL Central. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan. Center.
Good afternoon. I'm Ryan Baker. What a night for the Columbus Crew. They beat Monterey 3-1 to move on to the finals of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Diego Rossi, Aiden Morris, and Jason Russell Rowe all scored for the Crew, who will play Pachuca for the championship June 2nd. Midfielder Sean Zawadzki said they want to keep making history.
We want to continue to make history for our club. Winning our third MLS Cup last year to now, you know, hopefully hoisting our first CONCACAF Champions Cup. So we just continue to make history for the club.
The Guardians wrap up their series with the Astros down in Houston at 8:10 tonight. Logan Allen gets the start for Cleveland. NBA playoffs, the Pacers host the Bucks at 6:30 and the 76ers host the Knicks at 9. NHL, the Maple Leafs host the Bruins at 8. This one brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com.
Atlas Butler is built to keep you comfortable, and our plumbing services are no exception. You can rely on Atlas Butler for trusted, convenient plumbing and drain service. Our expert plumbers and drain specialists can take care of anything, from a broken water heater to a clogged drain. Call today, get it fixed today. That's our pledge to you.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call